Blog Talk Radio.
The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
No.
several different things he's done and been an activist for what he believed was right here in the Youngstown, Ohio area. And we give him honor today on Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We have a caller up. Caller 330, you are on the air. What you thinking going on here?
Hello. I'm sorry to hear Tracy's not there today.
She'll be back. She'll be in. She'll be in.
Oh, okay. That's fine. This is Joe Sanka. I'm a candidate for Columbiana County Commissioner. I heard you speaking about voting.
Yes, sir.
And what I'd like to propose to you is I'd like to have a debate between me and my opponent, Jim Hopple, who's also in the commissioner race. I've talked to a lot of people, and they've told me they'd like to hear a debate between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'd like to challenge my opponent and see if he'll appear and do that. We've got some interesting topics that I'm sure people would like to hear. For example, one of the examples is the commissioners that are in place now are dragging their feet on hiring an EMA director. That's an emergency management association director.
Mm-hmm.
And we're facing, power outages and flooding. We need a director in there, and it should have been done weeks ago.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. You'll have to call Tracy, and her number's 330.
Okay, hold on a minute. I have to write that. I'm sorry. 330. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. 720.
720.
0000.
0000.
Mm-hmm. You give her a call and see whether she'll give you guys some time to get that out the way. Because we talk worldwide, we usually don't deal with local races. However,
okay.
That's in her purview to make, and because we're talking to everybody, that's the reason why we're much interested, of course, in the races and how they come out. But give her a call and see what she says.
All right, thank you, dear. Appreciate your time.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Bye.
All right, and they're calling to run. For office here and to debate each other. That's going to be a big thing here in the next 7 days, how they're going to finish campaigning with the interruption of the storm. And, it's very, very interesting, what is going on. It's very interesting that this storm hit. And we'd like to ask you, do you think this storm meant anything? Do you think the storm meant anything? And I hope Stanley comes back on from New York, because I want to get a bird's eye view of what happened, with that. So, Stanley, you hear me. I hope that you're all right out there in New York. But give us a call and tell us what happened up there and, what you experienced. And we're asking whether this had any significance. There's a lot of significance that it could have had. We're not making I'm not making any assumptions. I knew that when people were – local caller, you can call them back. I know when people were praying for the storm to not hit, I kind of knew that it was going to hit. I prayed that there would not be any loss of life, but there was, and I regret that very much. But the storm did hit, and it's causing and wreaking havoc up and down the eastern seaboard. That is the presentation, the front, the face of our country. Does it mean anything? Local caller, you're on the air.
Well, yeah, this is me, Steve.
Okay.
Jeff, sometimes I can't figure why you don't like Obama, you and Miss Tracy.
Well, We don't dislike Obama at all.
You don't like his policy.
No, I don't.
You feel that he's not good for this country.
No, I don't feel he's good for the country.
Well, I mean, why would you say that? Because...
Okay, once again, Steve, you have to know the difference between socialism and capitalism.
But he's not totally...
You say that. I don't agree with you. I totally disagree.
Jeff, maybe he is for some form of socialism as well as capitalism. What's wrong with that?
This is what's wrong with that. You don't have enough money to go around, Steve. There's not enough money to go around, Steve. You have to find a different way to do it. We spent $1 trillion on the poor. And your girl Diva is posting on my Facebook site saying that there's 16 million kids go hungry every night. And I'm saying if 16 million kids in America go hungry, it is not the fault of the government. It is the fault of those parents, whoever they be. Either somebody's a drug addict, crazy, and, you know, those kids should be taken.
That word, Jeff, that offends me, man.
Okay, well, why?
Well, because I'm mentally challenged.
You're not crazy.
No.
That's a different thing. I'm talking about people that walk the streets and won't go inside, Steve. They'd rather sleep
there's
on...
people that think I'm like that. I don't, you know, I
Steve,
talk
do,
so much on them.
Steve, do you,
radio,
do you sleep on a grate outside?
No, I don't, Jeff. No.
Okay, you sleep in an apartment or a house, right?
Yes, I do. Yes,
okay,
I do.
And you go there every night, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay, you don't walk down the street talking to yourself, do you? Sometime you do?
Well, Jeff, we're not going to talk on those subjects.
Well, I do too, but I don't. But it's controllable, okay?
I mean, you know, I don't want to get over.
I understand, Steve. Maybe I was insensitive there, and I apologize for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather not stay on the grounds. It
may incriminate you. Well, that's okay. Well, you keep a pretty good, a pretty strong. Opinion and also a pretty strong argument as far as what it is. But the thing is
I know that there's some of your listeners, they believe I could be in left field when I bring up about the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, well, that's kind of left field because they're a very small minority of people. There's not very many Jehovah's Witnesses.
And I know most people think that they're a cult.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people think this because they don't believe that Jesus is God, and that they believe Jesus is an angel, that he was created by God.
Right.
So that's why the religious community can't go along and embrace them. And,
true.
But isn't Mitt Romney, his religion
yep.
is considered as a cult too?
Yep.
And one would ask, you know, they do believe in the Bible. Why do y'all think of them as a cult, Joseph? I mean,
because
I know that they had... They believed in bigamy and...
they don't... Polygamy. They don't believe in polygamy.
At one time they did believe
yeah,
in polygamy.
Yes, but that was one... That was a sect, and that sect split off because the other people shut it down. No, it has nothing to do with that, Doc. It has to do with this. I know plenty of Jehovah's Witnesses, and they know plenty of them are in the workplace. They are great people. They do a good job. They're conscientious workers, the ones that I know anyway. Mm-hmm. And I don't find any fault in them like that. They believe what they believe. I kind of believe that God kind of deals with things on a personal basis. And they believe in Jesus, period. So I'm thinking that maybe they're okay with that. I don't know because I'm not seeming to change many of their minds. And, I just say that Jesus had to be the Son of God. He had to be all God and all man, or our sins aren't paid for. But that's neither here nor there, because we're not made out of angel. No angels were saved. But I got to go. I got to go and pay these bills. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. We'll be right back in about five minutes.
Get on the air, Jeff.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number. 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
Vukasinovich and Associates is a private mental health and substance abuse treatment group. We address a wide range of addictions and mental health issues for adolescents and adults. We are currently accepting new clients at our Boardman office. If you need help, call us at 1-888-440-0982 to schedule an appointment. We accept public and private insurances. Vukasinovich and Associates is a subsidiary of Consortium Clinical Services. Call 1-888-440-0982 for an appointment. That's 1-888-440-0982.
What about free shoes for life? If you had a chance to win free shoes for life, would you want it? And if you had a chance to win a $500 gift card each and every month, would you want it? Well, here it is. This year, every time you visit Ryer's Shoe Store, you can register for your chance to win free shoes for life. And every month, we're giving away a $500 gift card, too. So zip on over to Ryer's and register for your chance to win. And know this, if your feet are hard to fit, Ryer's is your shoe store. We have sizes and a great sales staff who know how to fit you right. Ryer's offers superior service, a fabulous collection, and competitive prices. Just by driving a couple more miles, by shopping Ryer's, your feet leave with smiles. And a chance to win free shoes for life. No purchase necessary, no tax on shoes. In beautiful downtown Sharon.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Woo! Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com. Or hit us on Facebook, or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner-city organization of believers, present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time, and that's what we do at HeartReach, and we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more, and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more.
From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
We're back with Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Do you remember that song? Mm-hmm. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. We're here talking to you about what's on your mind and giving you a little piece of what's on our mind as well. Give me a call here at 330-781-9600 or on your internet lines 1-347-945-5229. You can hear us on Blog Talk Radio. Going in on blogtalkradio.com and check us out at Tracy and Friends or on iHeartRadio. You can listen in at WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. Hey, 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 the big storm has hit. We got a man that's been in the storm, but he's not talking to me. He's just sitting in my chat room. I don't know if you could, Stanley, I don't know whether you got minutes or not. I want to hear what's going on up in New York. You know, we hear it from the news people, but they only go so far. You live in New York somewhere. Are you on the coast or are you inland somewhere or in upstate New York? Tell me, Stanley. Just type it in. Type it in. I'll accept that. But anyway, we would like to get our eye in the sky in the Big Apple, see what's going on. The Eastern Seaboard got hit really hard. Both candidates for president have suspended their campaigning to do efforts to help the people out that are going to be in need up there. There was a whole lot of damage done. And once again, our hearts, our prayers, and our minds and our best wishes. Are there for those people up in the coast and inland, even as far as PA, West Virginia, Virginia, that's getting all the snow, because I saw where some people were going to get 18 inches of snow overnight. That'll rain on your parade just a little bit, huh? I am glad that we did not get the snow here, but, hey, that's what happens. That's what happens. Anyway, here it is. I'm looking at how things were turning out. Does this storm mean something? Is this storm an omen from God? Is it global warming? Or is it just something that happened? That's what I'd like to know, what you think. A lot of times, God will allow storms to come up, whether they be personal storms or whether they be catastrophic storms like this, hurricanes. I can tell you that when Katrina hit, can I tell you something that was going on down in New Orleans and see whether you believe me or care. There was the day Katrina hit, there was supposed to be some kind of gay celebration in the city of New Orleans on that date the year before. And in that year before, you had a lot of homosexual activists went into this Catholic church and desecrated the altar. They sort of like were performing acts, sexual acts, on up on the, you know, altar, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I don't know, you know, I can't remember who it was or what church it was that this happened at. But the thing is that is, it happened. And they vowed, we will do it again next year. And we're going to be here no matter what. God himself can't stop us from coming in here and doing that again. Now, you tell me, the minute that they supposedly got down there to do this again was the day that Katrina hit, because they came back, like they said, on the anniversary of what they had done the previous year. Now, I don't know whether it was a gay parade that day, or whether it was just a convention of some sort. I don't know. Now, I know a lot of people, you're sitting at home blinking at me. No, don't blink. Look it up for yourself. Look it up for yourself and see whether I'm telling you the truth. So I want you to say to that, does this storm mean something like that as well? Is it an omen on the election? Is it an omen of needing to change? Because a whole lot of stuff was rearranged yesterday. And Stanley tells me that in New York, the subway tunnels connecting Manhattan to Queens and Brooklyn under the East River flooded, and that's pretty much the heaviest of the damage. I saw a lot of other damage being done to the, you know, front places all the way up and down the coast, New England, Maryland. I don't know about D.C., North Carolina. All types of things have been happening. Lots of stuff happening. Do they mean something? Is this an omen of anything? I want to see who thinks it is. Or who thinks it isn't. I don't know for sure. I think it is. I think it's an omen and a sign. I know what I think, too. But the thing is, what do you think? What do you think? Well, anyway, once again, like I say, the Gay Pride Parade was going on down in New Orleans. It was supposed to go on again the next year, but Katrina hit. Yep. They did it. They came in the church. They desecrated the church. Did all kind of crazy stuff. See, this is where people get upset about the homosexual movement, because the radicals, just like in radical Islam, the radicals are giving the others a bad name. Now, I don't agree with their lifestyle and what they do, and I think that they need to deal with that between them and God. I'm not going to say that God has condemned them all to hell because of it or whatever. I think that they have issues. I think there's things going on in their life, and they need to work out their salvation if they got saved with God. He'll give them the power to overcome any sin that they have. But that means, too, you have to understand, does the church pastors and the church ministers, do they have to refrain from their fornications, adulteries, molestations, rapes, etc., 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 homosexuality, all of these things. Is that something going on? Something that we need to stay away from. Does this storm say something? You have in Maryland, who didn't get hit so hard, you have in Maryland, they're going to vote on whether gays should be allowed to be married or not. What do you think? Does it matter to you? Does it matter at all? Does this storm have something to do with that? Does it have something to do with that New York is about to overturn the will of the people and say homosexuality is okay in New York? What do you think? I think there's a lot of stuff going on. I think that when you have a president of the United States that respects another religion more than he respects the life of his own ambassador and withholds firepower from him, that he dies, I think that's a judgment. I think God judges that. Now, you may not believe in God, but I do. I believe that he still today makes his hand seen and known, and there's nothing we can do about it when it is. I saw people praying that the storm turned back. I knew when they were praying that the storm was not going to turn back. Said so to my wife. Knew the storm was going to hit. But South Cack, what are you thinking?
Well, I tell you what, I feel the same way that you do, Jeff. I knew the storm wasn't going to turn around. There was no doubt in my mind it was going to do what it was going to do. But, you know, you had some individuals get upset with Pat Robertson a few years ago when Pat made a comment concerning a certain storm heading to a certain southern city. And they got upset about it. But now when this storm heads to the New York City, it seems rather appropriate, don't you know?
Who's laughing?
Huh?
What? No, I heard somebody laughing. Is that somebody near you?
That was me laughing.
Oh, okay.
Now that the storm is New York, I haven't heard any comments, or I think it's rather appropriate, you know?
Well, I'm looking at it.
That's just a...
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at this that New York wants to overturn gay marriage law like California did. And that they're pushing for this. And God is not going to destroy the earth by water anymore, but he will certainly let you feel what he did before. And we felt it now on the East Coast, where they're just as liberal as they can possibly be. Which is their business now. I'm not saying that they can't be. They can do whatever they want to do. But don't get mad if God doesn't like what you're going to do. God deals with you doing what you do. But when you legalize what God said wrong, that's one of those things that God is saying, when you make it legal, it's personal because now you require all people to do what you have called, you know, you call good, what I called evil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
There's a thought out there, Jeff, that if you kind of look at President Obama's eyes during this campaign, does it look different to you?
Yes.
Does it look like he's off his fire?
Yes, it looks like the light has gone out.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think maybe he doesn't want to win, going to get reelected?
I think that they told him he wasn't going to, and I'll tell you about that soon as we go through this little bit of news here. You know, we got a news break coming up in 15 seconds. But I'll tell you, I think that he was told something. Now, that's my own personal belief, but I'll tell you when it happened and what I think happened. But after right now, okay. Call me back or hang on. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A 23-year-old Youngstown woman made her first court appearance yesterday in connection with the fatal stabbing of her boyfriend. Jessica Walker is accused of killing Sean Meadows at her apartment on Sunday. Walker reportedly told police she stabbed Meadows twice after he choked her several times. A former football star at Warren Western Reserve High School and Ohio State University pleaded guilty to 6 drug charges and workers' compensation fraud. 59-year-old Van DeCree will be allowed to participate in the Treatment in Lieu of Conviction program, which means the charges will be dismissed if he successfully completes a 1-year drug treatment program. And Ohio now has 13 illnesses linked to a larger meningitis outbreak and recalled steroid injections for back pain. Ohio Department of Health officials announced 2 more cases yesterday. They involve a 39-year-old Claremont County man and a 56-year-old woman from Warren County. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Woo! Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com or hit us on Facebook, or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner-city organization of believers present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time, and that's what we do at HeartReach, and we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
It is now possible to get more than 1,000 radio stations, including the station you are listening to right now, from nearly anywhere with iHeartRadio. Listeners now have the option to listen to live radio stations from across the country. Download the free app at iHeartRadio.com.
Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Join Turning Point Counseling Services on Thursday, November 8th for a special discussion with Dr. Brandy Kelly on how to deal with the holiday blues. Many people experience an increase in depressed mood, anxiety, and substance abuse. Dr. Kelly will explore ways to cope with the holiday blues. Find out more. Call Turning Point Counseling Services at 330-744-2991. That's 330-744-2991.
Barack Obama says he saved the auto industry. But for who? Ohio or China? Well, under President Obama, GM cut 15,000 American jobs. But they're planning to double the number of cars built in China, which means 15,000 more jobs for China. And now comes word that Chrysler plans to start making Jeeps in, you guessed it, China. What happened to the promises made to auto workers in Toledo and throughout Ohio? The same hard-working men and women who were told Obama's auto bailout would help them? Mitt Romney grew up in the auto industry. Maybe that's why the Detroit News endorsed him, saying, Romney understands the industry and will shield it from regulators who never tire of churning out new layers of mandates. Mitt Romney, he'll stand up for the auto industry in Ohio, not China.
I'm Mitt Romney. I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President Incorporated.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends here in WSOM radio here in Youngstown, Ohio, 600 AM on your radio dial and on iHeartRadio, the same on WSOM 600 AM and also on the internet at Blog Talk Radio. And that'll be Blog Talk Radio, and then you go to Tracy and Friends, and you check us out and see what we're doing here, and talk to us in our chat room. And I was accused of making my ideologies around stuff like the what happened with the storms, and I'm saying no, I don't make my ideologies around the storm. I actually see what's going to happen because of my ideology. Now, that may be crazy to some people, but I understand, I apologize. And that is the deal. We have to go through and see what we're going to deal with and what we're going to believe and not believe. And 330-831, if you want to talk, just hit that one on your dial and so I know that you want to get in here and talk. Otherwise, we welcome you to listen. South, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Wait, here's your explanation.
I'm going to let this other caller get in real quick first. Hey, A3on, you are on the air.
Hi, Jeff. Is my connection okay? Can you
it sounds pretty
hear me
decent.
Okay?
Sounds
okay.
Pretty decent.
Because, you know, a cell phone and when you're driving, you never know. I wanted to, when South Carolina made the comment about the eyes, I, too, have seen that. The last two debates, and in I have seen that too, and I think, well, you were going to say what you were thinking, but I mm-hmm. I definitely somebody's told him something.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, they did.
I think they've told him that, you know, and as we, our hearts, and I don't care if people call me crazy or not, it's not a bad name if you know you're. If you know, and I got to say something. A couple days ago, South Carolina made a comment about work ethic. I think it was yesterday you guys were talking about it,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get in to talk. But, you know, work ethic and faith and commitment is freedom. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of the people that have called into your show, including me, that's what we want. If you talk to others who are voting for Obama, they want something completely different.
Totally different.
They want other things. If you're talking to somebody that wants Romney, and I wouldn't have chosen him because Herman Cain was actually the one I thought was a better fit for the situation.
Me too.
But, you know, this is good too. I mean, that's how I, you know, now. I mean, it's what we have. But it's about freedom. It has nothing to do. If you give me a place to work and raise my family and a place to pray and the freedom to do that, then I am an American. That is what I want to vote. Those are the things I need. I don't need those other things. If I can work hard, I can pay for my health care. I can pay for my children's education. I can teach them work ethic if there's the environment and the freedom to create jobs.
And I think that's why Romney is doing good with women.
Right.
Women are not relegated to wanting to have sex and abort their babies.
No. No.
Although we do it to the tune of 1.3 million a year, you know, that's a lot of people, but that's a lot of different stories, too. You don't know what those stories are. I'm not justifying it in any way. I'm just saying we don't know the stories. And
right.
So I don't think that people just feel a certain way about the situation. I think that they're seeing that, hey, I might be able to get free birth control, but doggone it, I'm not even going to be able to afford to go on a date to get that way if I don't have any money flowing. I see people out there talking about, we don't give enough to the poor and this, that, and the other. And I get this thing, 16 million children in America go hungry at night. I believe that that's a 16 million lie. I do not believe that. There's not 16 million anybody going hungry in America unless they want to.
Or people just being lazy that aren't.
Well, some are lazy. Some have mental problems where they can't go get it. You know, and the thing is if they become the people that start walking the streets and saying and doing certain things, then there's an issue. There's a huge issue. But
tell us what you were thinking about the eyes since South Carolina brought it up, and that's what encouraged me to call. So I'm curious to both of you if we're in the same mindset.
You never heard. I don't remember whether it was last fall or very early this year. I'm thinking it was last year, but I can't remember because since last summer, my whole world has just flown by with my daughter graduating and going to college, father passing away at the same time, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, here's the thing. George Bush Sr. and Jeb Bush visited the White House. They didn't tell you why they visited the White House. They didn't tell you what happened as a result of their visit, who they did or did not meet with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, I think it's over. And
you're talking about this summer. You're talking about this happened during this summer.
No, it would have happened in the spring.
It would have happened in the spring
or last fall, because I mentioned it at the time. And I said, does anybody know why George Bush Sr. and Jeb went to the White House? And somebody flippantly said, maybe they just wanted to visit again because, you know, they were there at one time. I said, no. No. These guys are not going to the White House because they're nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
This was not George Herbert Walker Bush. You're talking about George Herbert Walker Bush.
It was the big Bush, the daddy Bush, and Jeb.
That's unusual though.
It was out of nowhere, and I couldn't believe it. I'm saying, what is that for? Well, you know, why did they go?
And South, why do you think it is? Do you think it's the same thing?
I have a theory.
I think his heart's out of it. I think they've taken it. Somebody has taken his heart out of it because he's not fighting like he used to. I mean, he's going through the motions and making noise about it, but mostly it's just hurt people that's doing all the talking.
Well, do you notice one thing though? That his crowds are nowhere near the size that they were, and that's the thing. Now they managed. Don't forget, at the convention they shut down the crowds that were supposed to. They shut down that last day being outside, talking about it's because of the weather. And I'll never forget on the night of that convention, that last night when he accepted the presidency nomination again, that it was crystal clear out there. Not a cloud in the sky. And they had shut it down for weather. And Stanley, you're going to be up next. So it is really crazy. Something happened. And they know either they were told this is not going to happen again, or at the same time, they just told them, we're going to beat the pants off of you because this is not how we need to go with this. But I have a theory that both sides are progressives, just as one is a left side progressive and one is a right side progressive. And I believe that the left side progressives are there to take us into a United Nations-led one more government, and I believe that the right side progressives are there to take us into a United States-led one world government. Now, I'd rather have the latter if we're going to have it, okay? That's my own personal belief.
I can agree with you on that one.
Yeah, because then we stay strong, because we have to be stronger than everybody else so that everybody else is willing to bind together with us. See, but the United Nations one, you have to be less of a country. These people are talking about Obama. We're on the right road now, and this, that, and that. You are 9 million jobs short than when he took over. He's put his hand on the neck of business, small business, big business, banking. The small banks are dying up under this guy. I don't understand these people. I don't understand their thought. I don't understand how anybody that doesn't have a job would vote for him. Because there's none forthcoming with him coming, because the jobs that have come back came back in spite of what he did, not because of what he did. Stanley, you are on the air.
Yes, yes. I'm listening to you do your famous speech like usual.
And you're going to do your speech just like usual.
No,
so
I'm
come
not
on,
do
get
my
on with
like
it.
Like usual, it's going to come to two things. Do you want a guy who's a flip-flopper? Do you want a guy who always lied? Do you want a guy that never tells the truth? Do you want a guy?
Then you vote for Obama again.
I can go through the whole shebang with Romney. Romney is not an example for me. He's not going to be my president. I don't want him as a president. I'm very happy with Obama, what he did.
You're going to leave the country? You're going to leave the country?
He's going to leave what the best way the country is, especially last time when we talked. I like what you did, Jeff. You said, and I quote, I don't care what other people think. I'm only interested in my country, whatever happened in my country. That was phenomenal when you said that. It's such arrogance as people that we think that we deserve, we are the best country in the world, and the rest of the world, and we don't care about what they think. We don't care about what they do. We don't care about the rest. We're supposed to be the police of the world, like you keep on saying, which I don't agree. I don't agree with that philosophy.
I don't either, Stanley.
Don't you think it's rather odd, though, that we have the biggest pot, and everybody wants to come fish in our pot?
Nobody
don't
wants to come fish
pot?
In our pot. It's not because you have the biggest pot.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
They want to come fish.
No, they
then
don't.
Why?
No, they
why?
Don't.
No,
they don't.
Why?
I'm sorry. No,
why?
They don't. I'm telling you, no, they don't. Go see.
And everybody
people.
Wants to go to
go
China?
See, before you judge and say to people, oh, they're one of our biggest politicians, things like, go see them and talk to them first.
Hey, okay, hold on.
I got to go to break,
Stanley. Hold on. I'm going to let you start out as soon as we get back. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. It is Jeff in the air chair. We are back right after these messages.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for after.
Hello.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Have you ever been to a foreign country?
Yes.
Okay.
I went to Bethlehem. I talked to those people. Yes, I did. I went to to see what it was.
Okay. I've been to Korea.
Wait. Let me finish my quote. Let me finish this, and then I want you to listen. I didn't go to them with the judgmental as an American. I came there as a person who wants to learn and listen to what they have to say. And come out with good questions saying, why do you hate us so much? And they came with things that I was like, let me tell you why. And they came with a lot of things that a lot of Americans, if we were in their position, we wouldn't be better than them.
Here's the problem you run into, Stanley. I've been to the Far East, Korea, and Japan.
Come back to what I just said. Did you hear what I said?
I heard what you said.
Okay.
I hear what you said, but are you going
to see that first and then say, oh, maybe you're wrong, maybe you're right? Because there's a lot of things I'm sure you don't know about what they're going through. I'm sure there's a lot of things that you don't know that how they're feeling about us. Before you tell somebody that this is how it is, you need to know, do I know all the information? Because I trust you not. You don't.
Are you finished?
Go ahead.
Okay. I've actually lived in Japan. I've been to Korea. I've been to Canada. I've been to Mexico, Honduras, Panama, and El Salvador, okay? I have actually spoken to all these people in these different countries, okay? Here's the thing, family. They don't hate us. They want to come where we are and have what we have, okay? Now, wherever you went to Jerusalem, and you spoke to the Palestinians over there, you got to understand, Stanley, a good portion of what they call hate for us, for Americans, is really a hate that's rooted in hundreds, I mean, thousands of years of religious animosity towards us. They're still thinking about the background. They're still, Stanley, hold on. I did not interrupt you. I did not interrupt you.
It is not that.
Oh,
goodness. Some stuff wrong to them, and they have done some stuff right. It is not that. Stop covering us for the things that we've done wrong. Stop it. We're going to be honest. Let's be honest. We have done some stuff around the world that I, as an American, I am not proud to say that we did. Stop saying that it is because
Hey, Stanley. Here's the thing. Stop acting like we didn't.
Because you're
Stanley,
not.
Hey, if we're going to have this conversation, you're going to have to give and give and get, okay? So you can't, but you can't filibuster the mic, Stanley.
Filibuster, but don't say things that are not true when you know there's something.
Stanley.
Be honest.
Stanley, how old are you, Stanley?
I'm 31, man? But
I am
like
40. Stanley.
I don't the thing that you're saying, like, because of the religion and this. Like, be honest. Look at ourselves. Look at the history.
Listen. Hey,
there are many things in our history that you know that you know as an American.
Hey, Stanley, I don't want to have to yell at you, but dude, calm down, man.
Go ahead.
Listen, man, I'm telling you, not everybody has the same experiences as you do. You don't hold a monopoly on what's right and what's wrong. You don't hold a monopoly on knowledge. And I'm telling you, from the experiences that I've had and the places that I've been, you, my friend, are incorrect.
Well, I'm not incorrect.
Okay, Stanley, I have a question. We were talking about, this is Bonnie, and I'm 57, and I've been, I'm probably from a very time warp that South Carolina is, even though I've never met South Carolina, and I'm in Ohio.
Okay.
So I'm real familiar with, like, what Tracy and Jeff are saying, because Youngstown's like 20 minutes. Actually, I just drove through that area. Okay. So I know and can relate to what they're saying.
Okay.
And I've lived here all my life.
Okay.
Do you see a difference? I just want to ask, do you see a difference in President Obama's demeanor now during this election? Do you see anything different? Do you see what South Carolina and I are talking about?
Well, I wish he would come more fighting. I have to agree with that. I'm a little bit disappointed that he's not as fighting as before. That I do agree.
Do you think someone did have a conversation? Do you think that could have happened?
I hope not. If you're coming with things like it could happen. Yes, it could. Maybe it could. But I'm a little bit disappointed that he's not fighting for what he truly believes in, because a lot of people believe in what he says. It comes to a point that I want to come to a point in America that we have to stop being divided. We have to stop acting like we're the biggest country in the world, that we didn't do anything wrong, that we did great things and this and that. We have to look at ourselves and say, yes, we've done great things around the world. Don't get me wrong. But there's many things we've done around the world that we don't even know our history. We don't even know the truth of our own history and everything. And it's a little bit disappointing that when you know the truth about everything, I believe about truthness. I don't care if it's the conservative or the Republican or the Democrat. I want honesty. And I think,
what do you think happened in Libya? What do you think happened to our ambassador? What do you think happened?
What do you think the truth is? The truth is, I think that Obama should have acted a little bit more. I don't know if the question I would ask the president, did you have time to send an army or something over there to protect them?
Did you hear about the drone that was taking photographs and live footage? Did you hear about that?
Yes.
Do you believe that happened?
I'm very mad against that. I heard about the kill list that Obama sent also. I heard about that.
Did you hear about the father of the slain? Well, actually murdered. I mean, we can talk about
yes,
it in ways.
Son
I mean,
of
he
the
would give his life
was
for the
an American citizen.
Did you hear?
His father got killed, and he got killed also. But even though he's an American citizen, how come he got killed? That is something that I'm not happy at all. I heard that about the killing list, that he killed an American kid who was 16 and he was looking for his father, and he got killed in the blast because...
And we're wondering what you think about it, whether it's an omen, whether it means something. They brought up, Bonnie in South Carolina brought up that maybe it looks like the fire in the eyes of President Obama are... dull or turned out, and I agreed. I don't know what that means, but I pretty much agree that he does not seem to have the twinkle and the fire that he had. And then we questioned that not too long ago in the White House there was a visit by George Bush the daddy and by Jeb Bush. Now, were they sitting up there and saying, you know, what size, sizing up the offices? Because I do believe you're going to see a Jeb Bush presidency. I know everybody thinks I'm crazy if I say that, but oh, we'll never see another Bush. And most of those people, by the way, are my brothers and sisters in the African-American community because they believe the hype of how terrible a president George Bush was. And they don't understand that it's been political theater, all the blame game that went on. Not that he didn't do some stuff that was wrong, because they spent like drunken sailors. But don't forget, 9/11 happened. And if you're gonna justify Obama with inheriting a mess, George Bush had a mess on his hands while he was in. So, therefore, I think he put it in pretty good shape before he left so that it was ready to climb out of the hole that it was going to be in. But that's my opinion. Stanley, I promised you'd be first. Talk to me, man.
No, I agree that I wish Obama would be a little bit more fighting against. He was a little bit more fighting in the second debate and the third debate. I think he won those two debates in my eye. I don't think that I truly believe that we're coming to a point that our country is divided in two places. Me and you, Jeff, we see it two ways differently. You want Americans to be number one, control the world, and have all the interests. And this. I don't. I want America to be responsible for their own country, to be an example of the world, but not to be arrogant and act like we are above everybody, and that when we do wrong, we apologize for whatever we did wrong. And we acknowledge it because that's a leader for me, in my eyes. A leader is not somebody who's a bully and said, we never do wrong. A leader is somebody who looks at himself and says, when we do wrong, we apologize it and we acknowledge it, but we don't do it again. And those are two different philosophies in everything because strength, it's a different thing. It's a different way. And I want Obama to be that strength. I want Obama to show to the world that we're not arrogant, that we do need you as much as we need you. They need us as much as we need them.
Well, what are you going to do with his?
Go ahead.
What are we going to do with his arrogance then? Because he's about as arrogant as they come. My mouth is hanging open when you said that. 914, you're going to be up here in a second. But here it is. It's not that I want us to, you know, there was a movie that Chris Rock played in where he was presidential candidate. And his opponent would say, God bless America. And then he'd say right after that, no place else. No, I don't believe that at all. And that's not where I am from. That's not my thought. But my thought is this. It is this. And that is that we better be strong because people hate what we stand for. They hate who we are and our beginnings. They'd love us to be to drop down five or six notches, which it seems like the president is obliged to do. Now, that's my personal belief. I believe he's willing to just let this country go down five or six notches. He apologized for us, talking about sometimes we've been this way and sometimes we've been that. No, you know what? You know, we may have done some things wrong, and we corrected our wrongs when we did them.
No,
so
we
now,
didn't. No,
oh,
we didn't.
What didn't we correct then?
We didn't correct our wrong of what we did and everything. I'm sorry.
If you're going to say that now.
Perfect example. Right now, we have a thing that the Obama people are seeing, which is the kill list. You must have heard about that, Jeff. Basically, we're sending drones to kill people because we think that those people are threatening, are a big threat for Americans. And we're killing them. We're not only killing them, we're killing all the innocent people around them. We're killing their son, their daughter, whatever it is. And it's us, Americans. It's no other country in the world doing that but us.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. No other country has that killing.
Stanley, they're not doing it by drones, but guess what? They're going up and they're blowing themselves apart with a bomb on their back. And they're killing innocent people all around just to get one security guy. They killed the other guy at our embassy, the security, head of security, at the one in Tunisia or somewhere. I can't remember. But the thing is,
They have a radio show.
They are killing us like you wouldn't believe, killing people like you wouldn't believe. Innocent people. They're going in the middle of mosques. They're going in the mosque, Stanley, and blowing themselves up. 914.
I'm here.
Okay. You are on the air. Who am I speaking to?
Margaret from New York.
Margaret.
How are you? I just turned on your blog talk. I'm also a fellow blog talk radio host. So I
Excellent.
Yeah, I just happenstance turned on your show. I'm liking what you've been saying. And, you know, here's the problem. We watch, you know, the Fox News or the CNNs, and it's all the same thing and the same talk, the same lingo. That's why I like Blog Talk Radio, because people have differences, but yet, you know, we got to stop talking rhetoric. What's going on in the country is serious. And I know that people want to believe in Obama, that he's going to, you know, do, you know, he's the president of the what ifs. Stanley is hoping that he'll be better the next 4 years. And we're under this assumption that he's going to be better the next 4 years. Well, what is giving Stanley that impression that Obama is going to be better in the next 4 years? Is he at all disappointed in what Obama is doing now? All the lies, I mean, listen, they all lie to a certain extent. But when it affects our country and our safety, that's where I draw the line. I mean, our economy is in the tank. You know, gas 4 years ago was $1.87, which you know. Now it's over. And here in New York, you can't get any gas. The lowest gas you can get for regular is $4.29.
Yeah.
You can't get any cheaper gas. To heat your house is expensive.
He doesn't want the gas to get any cheaper. He said, he told you that. Because
right.
Then his President Obama does not want your gas in your house or the gas for your car to get any cheaper. He said that those rates must necessarily go up under his idea of what cap and trade should be. And so that is not good for America nor America's starting manufacturing again. This is crazy. And see, now you and Stanley are both from New York, and you can and go ahead and tell us what show your show is.
My show is The One Word with Margaret Nicoletti.
Okay, very 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 well. Welcome to Afternoon with Tracy and Friends.
Thank you.
And we hope that you'll come back, and we'll try to catch you sometime. But
I definitely will.
Definitely. But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what has happened. The big banks got the bailout, and then you put regulations on that are squashing the little banks. Those are the ones that loan the money to the people under Dodd-Frank. What else has happened? You are talking about the EPA regulations killing one form of energy that was a cheap form of energy, and that is coal, okay? So now, this is destroying a part of our economy, and then he has a paltry 2% growth in the last quarter, and most of that was military spending. Come on, why do you want four more years of this mess?
Okay,
this
but Jeff, why don't you talk about what Romney did during that time? He's a
Romney.
Let's go. You said all those things. Say the other point. If you know your politics, say the other point about Romney.
What did Romney do?
Was he honest about everything? Coal thing, first of all. He was against coal many times. In his own, when he was governor, and I did the research to check it out because I'm things like that. Many things he was against the coal thing. He's now switching, saying, "Oh, by the way, now I'm for coal."
Okay,
well,
yeah, now let's.
You were for coal for a long time.
Let me add this then. I don't think he's going to want to mess with the coal industry because he's seeing the mistake of Obama. But let me add to this, because he very well could have been being the governor of a very liberal state, okay? Very well could have been. But now let's take a look at his job czar, Jeffrey Immelt. We talk about Bain Capital all the time. Bain Capital created saved businesses that were dying. I don't think that nobody doesn't want to shop at Staples.
Right.
Because it's a poor company. Nobody. There's about 30. If I could find my post that I brought up the companies that he saved and made stand. What about Jeffrey Immelt? Wait a minute. I got a question before I let you answer. What about Jeffrey Immelt sending 30,000 jobs overseas? While he's the job czar of the President of the United States of America. Hello? Wait a minute. He's the job czar. Why is President Obama shutting his mouth? Why isn't he saying anything right now about it?
Okay. But if we go to Romney's way, which is you keep on saying that, oh, he was such responsible for creating jobs, which he wasn't not. He was basically a hedge fund guy, a person that basically took companies that was broke and didn't work. And said, let's make money with them. So I'm going to buy them, and I'm going to cut people.
Am I on? Yes, you are.
May I ask Stanley a question, him being from New York? I don't know what part of New York you are. I'm from Westchester County. What do you think Obama's going to do the next 4 years that's going to change your mind? What do you think he's going to – what kind of magic bags of tricks does he have up his sleeve?
Well, he's not going to – he's the only president that basically did something about health care.
What has he done? He's going to kill your mother and father is what he's going to do. He's going to kill your mother. Stanley, my mother is 80 years old, okay? She just had an operation. She hasn't had an operation since the 1970s. She needed an emergency operation last year, okay? And guess what? Under Obamacare, I'd be lucky if she would – now, she was a teacher. She's got her health benefits. But I bet you dollars to donuts – that woman wouldn't have been able to have her operation. I will bet you dollars. And that was the first realization I thought when I stood in Lawrence Hospital. You know Bronxville, Stanley?
Yeah.
Okay. I stood in Lawrence Hospital the night of Irene, and I said, thank God she has the proper coverage that she worked all those years to obtain, because you don't need somebody, whoever's in office, to dictate what kind of health insurance you have, because you want to believe that you're going to have choices. You're not going to have nothing. And guess what, Stanley? You are not going to be able to turn back. Once it's sealed and signed and sealed, you are not going to be able to turn back and right the wrongs. That's it.
But,
it's final.
Let's go back to what you're saying and everything. I could tell you people in my family that had the system before, they were not happy. You know why they were not happy? Because they did all the things that you said. They paid, they worked all their lives, and when it came to a point that they needed a very serious very serious operation and everything. Suddenly the insurance was saying, Mr. Whatever, let's see in the list if your operation, we could do it. Because you weren't in that list. Oh, by the way, you weren't in that list. So that's the thing that insurance people do. Basically, they say, oh, well, sorry, Mr. Roy, even though you paid all your life, even though you did everything that you needed, you're not part of that list, and we can't insure you for that operation.
1-347-945-5229. We're talking about it all. Go ahead, sis.
Stanley, would you agree that cancer is rampant in America today? Cancer? People are getting chemo. How is this Obamacare going to pay for everybody's chemotherapy and radiation treatments? Where is this money going to come from?
Well, do you agree with me that if we do it the old way, which was the insurance, you didn't have control over that. Insurance
sure you did.
Basically would tell you yes or no and everything, depending on certain factors, depending on this. You had to come to almost getting a lawyer to basically look at your insurance and say, what am I covered for?
Let me tell you.
Remember the movie, perfect example, and I love this movie, and I think every American should see it. The movie with Denzel Washington, Johnny Q.
That's the
typical thing of mm-hmm. a lot of Americans. A lot of Americans pay the insurance until they blew in the mind. They think in their mind, I'm covered for everything. What happened in that movie?
Well, that was in the movie, and I don't deny that it happened.
No, that's not a movie.
Stanley, I don't deny that. I do not deny what you just said.
That's not a movie. That's just not just a movie. That is the truth for many people. For many people, there are in that situation.
Stanley, I agree with you that happens at times. But do you know that under Obamacare, you are not going to have enough of it to go around, and you've already added 30 million new people onto it. 26 million people still are not covered, and you don't have anywhere to go. What are they going to do, Stanley? They're going to try to go to single payer? Then when you go to single payer, it's going to be necessary for everybody to have the same. So when you get everybody with the same, you get them having to make decisions because you don't have enough money. Do you remember the Wendy's commercials years ago where they'd have the Russian models coming out and they'd say daywear, and she came out in this old dusty shirt,
right.
And then she'd come out with and say nightwear, and she came out in the same dusty shirt with a flashlight. That's what you're headed for. That's what these people want to do to the freedom of this country.
No, we take care of the people.
Yes, we do. Nobody in this country doesn't get paid.
Nobody's denied coverage now.
Nobody's denied being treated, Stanley.
The people come from Canada.
Get the debt that what you own, you can't even live with that. You owe $100,000. You owe $100,000. You owe $500,000. You owe whatever.
Here's the deal, Stanley. Stanley, people that are indigent, they take care of.
That's
the
right.
Stupid behind people in jail that want sex change operations, they're giving it to.
That's right.
So that is not up under any doggone Obamacare. That is up under what we have already, which is foolishness, first of all. It's craziness. And, you know, there's no way that we should be doing this, but we do it. And the thing is they fill your head with a lot of these things. I had a friend of mine that there's a lot of programs out there that will help you get care, and they cannot make you pay for, you know, a certain medical bill. And the whole system is too far to go into to explain. But the thing is what you've just done is you've created a system that is unstoppable, that will have control of every part of your life. If you think Bloomberg did something by saying 64 ounces of drink you can't have, guess what? Guess what it's going to be? If he could get that done with the city stupid hall council, I don't know who those people are, but you ought to take them out and publicly flog them for voting for that foolish law. Because it's not going to make anybody.
Jeff, we have a different vision. I believe more in the vision of like Germany, like France, like Canada, like this. I want to come to a point in our country that basically we don't take advantage of people because of the health problem. I wouldn't mind paying a little bit more money in my pocket to have everybody insured, everybody able to
look
at everything, and everybody having a free system in healthcare. That's
me neither.
Stanley, nobody's lying out in the streets dead in this country. Nobody's lying out in the streets dead. Nobody.
Yeah, but,
people from Canada.
I'm sorry to say, when you owe $250,000 plus the interest and everything that's going in your head and everything, you're almost like you're dead.
Well,
okay?
Stanley, I got...
by the way, that debt, you can never call bankruptcy with that debt. That debt will stay on you until you die.
Yes, you can.
Well, no, that's not true, Stanley, because I happen to know that personally. That's not true. When I had triple bypass back in 2001, and unfortunately, I was dumb. I didn't have insurance, but my father, you know, I had a small inheritance. I paid the doctor bills. I paid the guy that operated on me in Montefiore Hospital, okay? I tried Goodwill Pay. I was paying all along. I wanted to pay the doctor for doing the operation. Well, guess what? Montefiore is no small bill, okay? $100,000+. I told him I didn't have the money. I never got stuck without having insurance after that. But here's what happened. A private donor came in and paid and forgave the debt. Okay? Somebody in that hospital forgave that debt, Stanley. They forgave the debt. Some rich person, I don't know who it was, I'm not saying it's Trump or anybody, but somebody with money, and I was put on a list, and that list, I guess, whatever number I was on, was forgiven, because they haunted me and called me 24/7, 4, 6, 7, 8 calls a day, inundated. But after a while, the calls went away, the debt was forgiven. That's what happens eventually. You're not on a perpetual, you know, I'm forgiven $100,000. I'm very blessed to be have
yeah.
forgiven.
But what about the rest of the people who don't have your chance?
Exactly.
What about the rest of the people? Not everybody has your chance. I'm happy that you went through that, but trust me, not everybody's happy with that. And and like I said, we're coming to a point in America, we're having a division. We're not together anymore. We're having two different visions of America.
That's because Stanley, there are two different visions, because one, you want one set of people that don't want to do a doggone thing to make a living for themselves, and they want to live off the government. And then there's a set of people that want to go out there and work every day and make a good living for themselves, yet the government is saying, we got to take more of your money to take care of these people who are not going to work. Now, some I don't mind taking care of people that can't work. Those people, we need the help and to take care of. I'm in full agreement, and I don't mind taking a few more dollars out of my money to make sure that everybody has some kind of health care service in this country.
No, we live in a country that basically the rich are getting richer, the middle class is almost
That's
getting
any country in the world. That's any country in the world, Stanley.
Well,
the rich will always get richer because they...
The difference is, I don't find it normal that the difference between a person that... There's a lot of people in this world, in America, who are working as hard as the CEO, or working as hard as the people, and they have no, their salary didn't go up, but everything's getting more and more expensive, and the rich are getting, if you saw the Forbes, which is the Forbes 2012 showed it, there was an augmentation of 17%. They got 17% more money compared to 2011.
Why?
15%.
Yeah.
How many people can go to a job and go to their boss, hey, by the way, you know what? I've been working hard. I've been doing everything I need to do. Can you give me a 17% augmentation? You'll be laughed at.
One word. Go ahead, please.
17% augmentation.
Stanley, can I ask you something? What is going to change in the next 4 years that you're going to Obama is going to come with a magic wand and come down and give everybody jobs and give everybody health care and give everybody what they need? What is going to change? What do you think he's going to do on November 7th that hasn't done already?
Well,
what is he going to do?
First of all, he's going to I think he did. He's going to work on the immigration. That's one thing he has to work on.
Who cares about that? That ain't going to help me. What do you do for a living, Stanley? I have my own business.
That's what I think. That's his fault. He's going to work on the immigration. He's going to work on the debt that we owe money. That's one
Wait
thing.
A minute.
He's
going to
work on immigration so more people take my jobs. I have less and less to go out there, and hopefully I get an $8, $10 job.
No, immigration is going to do something about it to...
Are you an immigrant?
No, I'm not an immigrant.
Okay, what does that mean to you? I'm asking, what is that going to mean to you? Is that going to pay your food on the table?
No. First of all, the government's not responsible for creating jobs. We all know that.
Well, tell him that. Well, tell him that, because he keeps saying it is. And that's the whole thing. We're going to get jobs back. Here's my plan to get the middle class moving from the bottom up. That is the dumbest.
The same thing that Obama's seen, but he's
that's the dumbest. Wait, that's the dumbest thing in the world. There's no such thing.
4 years.
There's no such thing as the only thing that grows from the bottom up is a doggone plan.
Well,
okay.
Because the top is that doesn't guarantee that the top's going to do jobs.
Wait a minute. The top has to do something. You know why?
They have to. Some of them are greedy. They're going to keep their money for themselves.
They can't keep their money for themselves because listen, Stanley. They can't keep the money because they have to spend it for their everyday living, okay?
Yes.
They have to spend it and do.
We'll create jobs, Jeff. Making it sound like if we tax the rich the less possible and give them all the advantage and everything, that suddenly, let me create jobs. No, that is not guaranteed. Some will, some won't.
Can I say this? There has not been one time that they have cut taxes on businesses that it did not bring more money into the coffers of the United States. Not
no,
one time.
The best economy during that time was when Bill Clinton did, and he did what Obama's doing.
No, listen. It started with JFK, okay? JFK cut taxes, brought more money into the government. Okay, yes, Ronald Reagan cut taxes, brought tons of money, and set the economy on fire. On fire. Created a whole lot of millionaires under Ronald Reagan.
Clinton? What about Bill Clinton?
Bill Clinton cut the taxes. Wait a minute. Bill Clinton cut taxes. Let me give you the history. Bill Clinton cut the taxes, and guess what he did afterwards? He raised them and then went into recession just when he got out of office. Don't know your history, my friend.
George Bush had power. It was going very well.
Didn't say that George Bush
was going very well. We had
listen, George Bush inherited a surplus, a budget. Listen, he inherited a budget surplus, not a debt surplus. Yeah, a budget surplus, meaning that we could pay our bills. But that ceased to be after 9/11.
Going well, Jeff, or was it going not good?
It was unrealistic, Stanley. The prices of houses, I have a real estate license. The prices of houses were unrealistic, what people were asking for. Bottom was going to drop out.
Was people having problem with money, or was people basically saying, damn,
it's a great life. It's a wonderful life, Stanley.
Things were going well. So there you go. Things were going well.
When is the bubble burst? My house is not worth over $1 million. It's unrealistic. We suffered many recessions. In 91, the stock market, when it crashed. I mean, give me a break. You know, things bottom out, and then they come back up. They bottom out, they come back up. You can't be going up. Sure, things were great under Clinton. Clinton was not realistic either. He was doing things in the White House that he shouldn't have been doing. I mean, he was a screwed-up president. Is that who you want your child to emulate? Is it Bill Clinton?
In my eyes, he did what he needed to do. He was one of the great presidents, and a Republican knew that.
Listen to me. I would love to have Bill Clinton back before what we have right now. Okay?
Oh, yes.
Yes, because guess what? Bill Clinton worked with the Republicans when he knew that he couldn't do nothing else. And but when
and
he raised those taxes, we went
into President Obama didn't work with the
Republicans. No, he doesn't. He told them.
Obama
he said, "No, he
Obama
did not." And he said, "No, no, no."
No, Obama did do good. You know, he listened to Stanley. It was very important on the lame duck session to pass that "Don't Ask, Don't Tell." That had to be done. You know, I mean, that was a must because that changed my life. I mean, come on, Stanley.
This is what happened, Stanley.
Come on.
When he got in office, he said to the Republicans, elections have circumstances, I mean, have outcomes, and guess what? I won. That's what he worked together with the Republicans with. This lie about him working with, trying to work across the aisle was a lie. That was a propaganda lie.
Wait, what about the Republican that said every law and everything that you're trying to do with President Obama, we will not apply it and everything?
Thank God.
Bless
those guys. You know why? Because they saved America.
They
saved us. Yes, they did. Yes, they did, because they didn't let this socialist do more than... They did not let this socialist do more than what he's done so far to destroy this country.
Sorry,
it can still be undone right now. But if you give him 4 years, it'll take us 20 years to undo whatever he did. This is craziness.
20 or 30 years before the rest of the world have respect for us.
No. Thank God that Romney at least will allow business to come back because he understands it.
Going to go with his conviction. That's flip flopper. Go with Romney. If you want somebody who lies, somebody who flip flops,
somebody that lies.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but President Obama's been lying to you since he got into office. And I'll say it like this. They both will, to get the most powerful seat in the world, a lot of people would do a lot of things, and a lot of them will stretch the truth on both sides, which I will agree with. But I'll say this.
That's the truth.
Well, that is the truth, but I'll say this. One is destroying things, and one built up a lot of money.
Obama.
So you tell me which one I should go with. The guy that never ran anything and screwed up the country as it is, more so than Bush had it, or go with the guy that knows how to build business and at least will allow the business community to come back alive, and he can put in place advisors to help him with everything else.
Yeah, that's about when Romney's talking about this $5.7 trillion and everybody's asking, how are you going to get that $5.7 trillion? I don't know.
He never said $5.7.
By a certain way, magic, like the woman, I don't know what's her name, she's saying that Obama's going to do magic. Let me ask
he did not say.
It's one trillion.
How is Romney going to
He's already got most of it paid for already.
How is he going to do? He's going to do magic too?
He told you. Okay, just relax. He told you, first of all, I don't want to lord this on everybody, but we're going to work it out in the Congress when we get together. But if they don't want to work it out, I'll figure out how to do it. But he said, but the most thing we have to do is get the economy running again. Because if you cut taxes, listen.
Don't answer the question, Jeff. You're not answering the question.
I just answered the question. You didn't listen. I said once again, he said, I will work some of the cuts out and some of the how to close certain loopholes with the Congress, because I want the Congress to work with me in doing this so that we have a good consensus of what to cut, what loopholes to get rid of. And that is a wise decision, not a foolish one.
No, it's not.
Well, not for you. I mean, maybe not. No, because Obama passed health care without one Republican vote.
Okay. Yeah, the same health care that basically Romney did on his own state, but the only difference is now he's flipping and saying, oh, Obamacare is bad. But
it is bad.
So the Obamacare was planned on the basis of...
Yes, it was.
Stanley, it's the most unpopular. You know it's unpopular. 65% of health care, this is unpopular.
That's what you think. It's not the most unpopular.
That's what I think.
That's what you think.
Chris Matthews even says. Come on.
I dare you to do a national vote in America and say, I want you to vote for once. Are you for Obamacare or not? You would be surprised. A lot of Americans are for him.
Well, you know, there is a lot of Americans that are for the Obamacare, no doubt about it. But you know what? 68% of America does not like the bill. And I don't like it either because, first of all, I don't want nothing with 9,000 new IRS agents coming on. Why in the H-E double hockey sticks would you need 9,000 new IRS agents to enforce Obamacare? Understand,
he'll be
Stanley,
the first to
I do
when
not
a
want
on his door.
We don't want that type of America. That's not good for us. It's not going to work. It can work state by state if you have the states come in and buy into this situation. But you cannot put it on a federal level and make it a mandate. It's not going to work that way. You have more ability to control it if the state is doing it because you know your people in your state, what your things are. But whenever you control something from Washington, D.C., you are federalizing yourself and you are more or less saying that I don't know what to do. Take my education so my kids, my inner city kids aren't getting any education because they're getting screwed over by the unions and the NEA. Screwed over. You understand that? They're getting screwed over. I got to go on and I got to pay some bills. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. Jeff in the air chair. One word out of New York. Stanley out of New York. Bonnie locally, we love you. Hang in there. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A 23-year-old Youngstown woman made her first court appearance.
Hello, we're all on. We can talk.
Yeah, we're all on. Go ahead.
Okay, and Margaret,
yes.
We were asking, and I don't know if you came into the tune before South Carolina was on, and I'm in Ohio, so I'm not. I do not live in the inner city. I live in the country. I've been on before, and Stanley, you know, I know you guys live in the inner city, which I have no understanding of because I,
right.
You know, I have a garden and a wood burner and I catch my water. You know, I'm very, 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 very country.
Oh, okay.
But the one question that we were asking and talking about was we had thought that we could see a difference in President Obama.
Right.
And that he doesn't have the fire. And we were wondering if something happened. Now, Jeff's been saying that he thinks it was a visit to the White House by the grandfather or the father, Bush and Jeb.
Mm-hmm.
Now, personally, I haven't said this on the air. We haven't gotten back to it yet. But I think it's Hillary Clinton. And Stanley, you didn't give your reason why you thought possibly the fire had gone out. And then, Margaret, I'd like to hear what you think. I'd like to know what you think. What do you think's changed?
I think, basically, the fire has gone out of Obama's eyes. I mean, we saw that through the debates, right? What's happened
right.
is, I think, I'm going to side with what you're saying, Hillary Clinton. I really do believe that.
I think Hillary Clinton has done something. Now,
yeah.
Stanley, who do you think who's responsible? Who do you think's done this?
Well, I disagree with you. The first debate, yeah, he didn't have the fire in his eyes and everything. The second and third debate, he came back to fighting and everything. I wish that we would fight more and tell basically show Romney for the lying person that he is and the flip-flopping that he is and everything. Maybe Hillary Clinton has something to do with it. I wouldn't be surprised. But a Republican doing something? Hell no. No, I don't believe it's a Republican.
Do you think the president lied about that it was a... It was an insulting video that caused the deaths in Libya, or do you think it was a lack of our reaction quick enough to save our soldiers and our ambassadors in a dangerous situation? Which one do you think?
Well, the thing is, the video of Mohammed, it is true that basically Middle East people, it's not only that Libya, all around Middle East reacted badly with that video. They went crazy for that. That's one thing you don't want to mess with them. If you start talking about the Mohammed in the wrong way, what happened? I think it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that some journalist decided to basically do a drawing of Mohammed and everything. Sorry, the whole Middle East went berserk because of that. They killed people because of that.
But do you think that the Middle East, by behaving that way, because, you know, just personally, because we're all, just the three of us, and I don't know who else might be listening. Mm-hmm. The thing is that pornography really offends me, Stanley.
Right.
It offends me so badly, and especially child pornography. And when I hear these things, I mean, I can get very, very raged. And I am certain that you are a man who would not stand for any of that either. Even though we disagree on some things, I think that you're a level-headed individual that would say that that is absolutely a crime and offensive to us.
Yeah, of course.
Does it give us a right to go to Libya and kill people for it?
No, but we wouldn't do it.
But it's okay that they do it to us.
No,
see, there's
not,
a flip side here.
It was okay that they did it to us.
Okay, so then what should we do when bullies come in our backyard and ask us for money? Because you know we've given Egypt millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Right. You know what? Can I say one thing? Do you remember when our soldiers, I want to say, peed on the dead?
Yes.
And
yes,
I was thinking
yes.
of that, and how we had to apologize up and down.
But, I don't know what you guys are doing in the chat room, whether you're talking. I see some of the posts that are in the chat room, and y'all just crazy in there. But Jay's holding it down. And, you know, Jay Early's in the chat room.
I guess I could go sign in and go see what you guys are doing. Hey, guys. Hey, how are you doing, Jeff? What are you guys talking about?
Hey, we're talking about a lot of stuff, and Stanley's in here losing his mind.
Why do y'all let Stanley in? Stanley crazy. I keep telling y'all
Stanley. We got to let Stanley in.
I'm crazy.
I love Stanley.
I'm crazy.
I was wondering whether he got scared during that storm. Did you get scared during the storm, Stanley?
Of course, man.
You said, of course you do.
Are you in the city, Stanley, or are you outside the city?
It's 100 years that the subway, when you're telling me that there's no more subway in New York?
Yeah.
That's major.
Yeah.
Hey, we are on the air, but what you guys talking about now?
We're talking about the thing that, one question was, do you think Obama was what provoked the Libby stronghold? Why did they attack us? And we said it's because of the video, because they insulted their prophet and everything. And
you really
and
believe
the question
that
she was asking is, what should we have done if somebody insults you and attack you? Are you supposed to just take it? And we were going there.
Yeah, but you know the speech in the Rose Garden, the controversy is he spoke, he said that terrorism, but he spoke about 9/11, 2001. I believe that my heart of hearts. What I heard him say in that Rose Garden the next day was how there should be freedom of religion. He was still giving the terrorists.
Muslim Brotherhood.
Right, the Muslim Brotherhood, right. It was more of an apology again. It was a very...
Yes.
It was very cleverly done.
He didn't say, I apologize.
Well, it was, you got to read, Stanley, I know you're coming in, because you're from New York.
Like
you got to see,
Stanley.
You have the New York intuitiveness. You got to say, you got to read between the lines. What is this man saying in cryptic language?
Apologizing. If I come to you and I do wrong, I say, I'm sorry I did wrong. That's apologizing. There's no between the lines.
Okay, Stanley. We heard you.
Stanley, I want to hear what the woman had to say. You look, because I can only hear one at a time. You don't know.
What I was saying before to this woman was, I was saying about when those I don't know who they were, Marines or Army guys, that they peed on the graves of the terrorists. I don't even know who was lying.
Not the graves, the actual bodies.
It was actually a corpse.
The bodies. And then we had to right away, and right or wrong, we had to, you know, say we were sorry, you know. And our guys took it. I mean, I don't even know what happened to those guys right now. I don't even know. Has anybody followed what happened to those guys that desecrated the graves? Our people in the Army?
You know what? I don't know whether they did anything to
him.
Yeah, I
haven't
heard
anything.
And hopefully that they let this thing go, because when you're talking about you just urinated on a corpse versus them dragging our guys through their streets hanging them, taking our ambassador, sodomizing him, and then torturing him and killing him, and then our government not even giving the order to attack.
Well, I tell you, if you caught Brett Baer's second, he did a two-part documentary on what happened in Libya.
Right.
And the second part was outstanding. The guy was making you know what happened, what actually happened. He went on the actual grounds on the second part of this documentary that was played on Sunday. He actually took you where Christopher Stevens was dragged out of the it wasn't even an embassy.
They had already gone into the safe house.
But I'm telling you, I almost had to catch my breath when I was watching this for an hour. He told you blow by blow, and he was in the place while he was describing what happened, you know? And I was getting terrified. And I said, seeing this man taking you through this whole documentary, I can only imagine what it must have been when you actually saw this in real time. How this man that holds the highest seat in the office can go the next day to Las Vegas, I'll never know. I had nightmares the day of when Brett Baer had the special, because these people were hiding and running for their lives, and then they were going out the window, coming back in the window, going out to see if it's safe, and they were dragged out. They were killed.
When I really, really realized that they actually watched this.
They watched it.
What was going on. And could not do anything about it.
How could anybody sit there and say, and then talk
about a movie?
Hold on, one word. One word. This is Tracy. Tracy, this is one word. She's a new caller. She heard us, and she's on Blog Talk as well. And this is the host of the show.
I just wanted to be formal.
You never introduce me to people, I think you're ashamed of me. I think that's what
it is. It's not that serious. I'm just saying, you know, I just can't see how you're going to watch it and then come out the next day when you and give us a bunch of hot air. Instead of coming out and saying this is what happened.
Well, I just figured out something here, and I'm up there wondering who the heck is advising President Obama on all these things, and I'm looking at. No, I'm just thinking. Valerie Jarrett, birthplace is Shiraz, Iran.
Right. You're supposed to call somebody, Dan. I forgot to tell you. His name was Marvin Rogers.
I didn't know nothing about it.
I'm sorry. I'll work it out.
Yeah. Oh, well. But Valerie Jarrett, now, I don't know how long it was before she came to, America.
Well, Jeff, you were showing me something earlier about her.
That's a good point.
Did she really from Iran?
She was born in 1956, November 14th, 1956, in Shiraz, Iran.
No, that's
I think it says that in Wikipedia. Yeah, if you pull that up.
My God, I couldn't believe that. Now everything fits into place, though.
Wait a minute, Jeff. Hold on, slow down.
269, you'll be next.
Bring 269 up, because I V-A-L-E-R-I-E.
V-A-L-E-R-I-E.
That's what I said. J-A-R-R-E-T-T?
Yeah.
Because, I got the J-A-R-R-E-T-T.
She's the president's senior advisor.
I know who she is. I want to see it with my own eyes. She wasn't born in no Iran, Jeff.
269, are you on the line?
Yeah, I guess.
Enter with fear.
You waited till she called. She came in today. You were calling me. Tracy,
man, I should have called in long time ago.
I can talk now, then, because Tracy
you
ain't there.
Put it in the chat room that she was going to be there, too. I would have called before then.
I'm not even in the air chair. I'm sitting on the other side of the seat.
Yeah, okay.
Listen,
I'm not even in control today. I'm letting Jeff run things today, so you know
okay,
it's the kind
good.
Of day I'm having.
Good. No, listen,
well,
this,
she was born in. She was, hold up. She was
I have
born
the
in Iran.
Up here too.
She was born in Iran.
Yeah, that's right here.
She was born in Iran for real.
Yep.
Are you
born in Shiraz, Iran?
Why was he born
November 14th, 1956.
Because her father was training musicians, physicians over there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, this is
done. I'm done.
Yeah, this is a little bit off the what y'all was talking about, but yeah, you always hear this the Republicans talk about freedom, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gonna get back to freedom and freedom and liberty. So I'm on here looking at these lobbyist groups, you know, like the top lobbyists and stuff. And I ain't found none one of them yet with the mission statement of freedom. Now, do y'all know of somebody? Check them out.
No, but the thing is our basic tenet, while we do business with in all sectors, is to let the American people still be free. We're not allowed to be free these days because we have foolish laws like the hate crimes legislation that, in other words, if you kill somebody, it's murder, but if you kill them because you didn't like them, then it's a different or worse kind of murder. No, they're still dead. No, nobody's living. It's not any worse. You don't need hate crimes legislation. But you know what hate crimes legislation is for? It's to shut the mouth of people like me that are going to tell you what thus saith the Lord. They're going to tell you what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
And they're going to tell you what is evil and what is good.
Well, I'm going to keep looking, Jeff. So far, I haven't found any lobbying group that represents the industry of individuals and freedoms. I'm looking hard. I'm trying.
You're
to
not called Republicans.
I said Republicans say that, but
you're not gonna find that.
I ain't gonna find it.
No.
You mean ain't no lobbying up there in D.C. about freedom?
No.
Well, what's going on? I thought we wanted some freedom.
We do want freedom, but we don't want to work for it because we think freedom is free. That's the problem with Americans. Americans think freedom comes free, especially the new Americans, because we don't realize that people have had to work for the freedoms that we have.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, the Republicans always said, that's why I said, do y'all know of one that is lobbying for freedom so I can go check them out?
And that's what I'm trying to tell you. I mean, and I'm not being funny. I'm being serious. Freedom is free. You know, everybody wants to be in control, and everybody wants to be right. And that's the problem that we have right now. We have people representing us, and they say that they're fighting for our freedoms, but when they're actually fighting for their own power. And until Americans actually understand that, then we're all going to be lost. Because no one's fighting for individual freedom. They're fighting for their own individual power.
Well, according to these, so far, all the lobbying groups that I've seen, they are fighting for different industries.
But that's because of the American electorate has been dumbed down to know how to make the process work for itself. And I keep saying that, and people keep on acting like I'm talking out the side of my neck, and I'm not. What I'm saying is we have been ignorant to how to make the wheels turn in our behalf. And because we're ignorant, we don't get anything done.
Y'all done hurt my feelings. I thought I was going to find some lobbying groups that's up there fighting for my freedom. I'm going to send them a dollar.
You can send them a dollar all you want to. You better
send us the dollar because you talk on here enough.
You ought to take
how much it costs us to do
Wait a minute. Now, you're right, Jeff. And when I get off this phone, I'm going to look on there and get y'all's address and send a donation. Now, you got my word on that.
I believe you.
Hold on. 40-40 sign
okay.
And move.
Hold on. Say it again.
40, actually, 40. You're right. This is the only venue of freedom is Blog Talk Radio.
4040 Diamond Road.
Simon, S-I-M-O-N, Simon Road, Youngstown, Ohio, 44512. You realize that we're actually on terrestrial radio also.
Youngstown. Yeah, we're on WSOM 600 AM. Send it in.
Now,
so here, Tracy and friends.
We do
them
both.
Put that in your name, Jeff, or Tracy?
You know what? See there.
Put it, Tracy.
Okay.
What do you want?
T-Win.
T-Win Media.
You can put it in any name you want to put it. I promise you, I'll get a cash. Whatever it is. Whatever you put in there. It don't make a difference.
That is true.
Out of you. You can put it in your grandfather's name. I'll find a way to get a cash.
Hey,
well, maybe
you
will feel connected to the hood.
Hey,
I'm trying to tell you.
We'll see you guys on the other side of this news. We'll be right back.
Virginia and whipped up 20-foot waves along Lake Michigan in Chicago, bigger than.
I tell you, I'm going to tell everybody about your show. You guys are great. You guys are real great.
I love this show, and I just love Tracy. And 269, do you want to give us your real name, even because you're not on the radio? So we know who we're talking to. This is Margaret. I'm Bonnie, and you are?
Metu, M-E-T-U. That's my name.
Say that again one more time.
Metu, M-E-T-U, Metu.
Well, isn't that, were you named after someone?
No, that was an African name that was given to me when I went through rites of passage.
Well, that is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. How long ago did that happen? How long ago were you named, given the African name? Because that interests me. I've never heard anything about that or ever heard anyone say that.
That's probably been about maybe 20 years ago.
20 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you have – I'm could tell by your voice that you're not – 20 or something like Stanley, because I think he's fairly young. Don't you agree, Margaret? He's fairly young.
Yeah, this guy sounds like
his voice.
40s, late 40s, early 50s.
But do you have grandsons or grandchildren that also carry your name?
No, I ain't that old now.
Oh, come on. It doesn't take anyone that long to reproduce. We know.
I ain't got no grandkids.
No grandchildren.
No,
I have three. I have three grandsons.
Okay.
And we live in Ohio. We live in the very country part. Tracy makes she digs fun, pokes fun at me because I still can. And I was telling Margaret, we have a wood burner, things like that, So we do, we still do those things. I live in the Appalachia area. Mm-hmm. So it's just always interesting, when we get talking about political things. But I am very, very disturbed that our government has lied about the Libya thing. And I heard the story of Tyrone Woods, who was the murdered Navy SEAL. His father Charles Woods was saying what the president had done and Biden had said to him, and Hillary Clinton. And at the time when those bodies arrived back to the States with the flags draped over them, they already knew at that time this was a terrorist attack, and they clearly told those parents and loved ones that were waiting, and I think, and I could be wrong, Margaret, if you know the difference, they said 4 days. Was that mm-hmm. true? Did you hear that too? 4 days they arrived back into the States.
Right. That is correct.
In 4 days. Now, President Obama in the Rose Garden said it was a terror. Terror. It was an act of terror. He didn't say anything about a terrorist attack. And he also did exactly what you said. He kind of said, we need to give he brought it to attention. He brought it to attention that others have religious beliefs.
Different faiths and different freedoms. They're allowed.
Yes. Now, like I was saying openly, pornography offends me. It does not give me a right to go to Iran, Egypt, Colorado, not another country, but my own United States, and murder someone
mm-hmm.
and cause acts of terror. It
mm-hmm.
does not give me a right. And if you want to behave that way in your country,
mm-hmm.
then I guess you behave that way in your country. But we don't do that here in America. It's
right.
called not what we do. And when you do that, we're going to get really upset with you. I mean, I understand that they're very sensitive about it, like what Stanley said. And I think it should be respected. But for it to be shoved down my throat, like I need to be respectful, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I don't need to learn about their religion if I don't choose to. I don't need to practice their religion. And I certainly don't need to condone their murderous attempts to bully others into it. I just don't get it.
Well, I have to tell you, have you seen the 14-minute video?
I heard 11 minutes of it, and I heard it on Tracy and Friends show. She played it.
Did you hear it or did you see it?
I just heard it, but then I was curious. Yep. So then I went to the library, mm-hmm. and I printed it. It's like 11 minutes long. Is
yes.
it 14, did you say? It's like 11 minutes. It looked like my 15-year-old grandson made it with a bunch of his buddies in the backyard.
It was ridiculous.
Poking fun.
It was absolutely ridiculous. I couldn't believe it was the same thing. I said, this can't be the video. I must have the wrong YouTube uploaded.
Exactly
it can't be.
What I thought. 269, did you see it? Did you see the video?
No, I didn't see the video.
It was ridiculous.
It's a silly thing. It's a silly thing. I'm not kidding you.
It's juvenile. You cannot, listen, you cannot take this video seriously. It is in no way. Listen, I'm not a Muslim. To say offensive, I don't know how anybody could take offense.
Friends
I'm looking at
347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
We're back once again. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. What'd you say?
I cannot believe.
Riders on the Storm. Riders on the Storm is a cold-blooded tune. What you talking about?
I cannot believe you riding on the storm.
I was riding the storm, and so we started out because the storm came and hit the country.
The door.
It hit us. And we were very sorry for the loss of life. Absolutely, I mean our prayers go out to everybody out that way.
And the Simon family. I gotta send my condolences to Reverend Simon
Reverend,
family.
Yeah,
our Simon family. Lonnie Simon. He's a local pastor here. He
civil rights.
Did a lot for a lot of people.
Right. Yes, he did over the years.
Yeah.
Been a good friend. And I say that.
A good Republican.
Yeah.
He was a good Republican until Obama got in. He was a good Republican.
He's a redemocrat.
he was a good Republican. He was a good Republican.
Yes,
I gotta say he was a good one. And we another one down. Another one bites the dust in Mahoning Valley.
Right. But
I got a question for you guys. And I'm so excited. I see a new call came on.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a question. I got some flack about Christie saying that Obama did a good job.
A good job on what?
Helping out the governors and the
in the storm.
In the storm.
He ain't done nothing yet.
That is the point. They said the communication. They said they gave him too much. Are they out of line?
Yes, Christie is trying to be nice for whatever reason, and I don't know what that reason would be.
Well, I mean, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do, and I want to say that. And I'm gonna shut up in a minute, but I got to say Priscilla Baldwin. You better be careful hanging out with Bill Clinton because you know you got to be careful of Billy. Willie, don't be careful of Billy Clinton.
Hey, she's been single a long time.
That's
no.
what I'm saying.
So,
remember Lewinsky? I see a picture on the
She
phone.
Might be looking for a little action there.
Hanging out with grinning Bill.
I'll leave Priscilla alone. That's my girl.
That's my girl. That's what I'm saying. She put it on Facebook.
Yep.
Her and Billy Bill hanging out.
Hey, the Baldwin family are the biggest supporters of my Jazz in the Park series. My Al Jack Robinson. They are there every Sunday before the people to clean the park up get there, setting up tents and putting out grills and stuff and getting food cooked. It's a great affair. So those of you who are listening to me locally, next summer we're going to do it again.
I'm not talking about Jasmine Parker. I'm talking about Priscilla with Billy Clinton.
Yeah.
Taking a picture, grinning from ear to ear. She better be careful.
Yeah. That's how it goes. 497, new caller. You are on the air with Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, and you actually have Tracy and me. So what's up with you?
Tracy. Good afternoon, Tracy.
Good afternoon,
Jeff. I forgot.
Hey.
But, Tracy.
Yeah.
Will you do me a favor?
Sure.
The lever that you have there, mm-hmm. you know, where Jeff's allowed to play songs, could you please take his lever away from him?
I'm trying.
Rider on the storm.
Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. Today I came in, and today's my Rotary day. I did a television interview. It just didn't make sense for me to unseat Jeff, make him move. But I know, and it won't happen again because Jeff don't know how to act. I know.
I mean, you know, open up with some James Brown. I feel good. You know, something. But
Rider
on the storm.
Okay.
But
well, how
New
about
Jersey,
this?
New York don't want to hear about no storms right now. That's the wrong thing.
But you say don't say it's raining men or nothing.
No.
Say something with John Travolta. Oh, Sandy.
Jeff might not have no James Brown stuff in his repertoire.
He should have. Come on now. But look, huh? There you go again.
What? Uh huh.
You see? See what I'm talking about?
No, is that what you want to say? No, you like that stuff. You know what it is.
Let me say something, Jeff.
Yeah, upset with
you
like
and Stanley because here we are. We're like a couple days out from election. Everything that needed to be said has been said. The two candidates have taken off, you know, out of respect for this storm that just hit.
Don't believe that.
Y'all talking politics today.
Guess what?
What's up with that?
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Don't believe they took off. The only thing they did was they not showing up for their own party. The party is still rolling on.
Well, sure, but I mean they're off. So I mean,
Governor Romney could take off for the day. He's here collecting goods for the storm victims. He's in Ohio collecting goods for people in New York and New Jersey and all them.
What do you know why? Jeff,
I've been on for an hour. I haven't heard him mention it yet.
What?
Earlier, Jeff said he had a theory on Barack Obama losing the fire.
No,
and that
yeah.
Somebody has told, what I'd like to hear that. What?
Okay.
What
this
fire?
Is. We will, because this is what we're doing, y'all.
That he's gonna lose. Somebody told me he's not gonna win.
Who's not gonna win? Who's that? Obama.
Obama's
not. I don't think he's gonna win.
What?
And he knows it, and somebody has told him something or something has happened, and he's lost his fire.
I can't hear. What'd you say?
They said they didn't have no James Brown, so I had to, you know, I had to prove
right.
him wrong.
You borrowed that from Tracy. You borrowed that from Tracy, Jeff. That ain't yours.
you know,
and he played side B. That's what he did.
I feel great.
There you go.
Obama's
going to win. No, he's going to lose. And because the Electoral College is going to prove that, and I'm telling you that, and he's going to lose Ohio, and it's not because I'm supporting Mitt Romney. I'm telling you today on the.
Do you believe he's going to lose Ohio?
With all the good
that has come to Ohio.
But the good that came to Ohio did not come because of Barack Obama. And if Barack Obama stays in Ohio, he's going to make us lose Ohio because he's going to make us lose coal.
That's right.
You can't win on wind. Right now, you can't win on wind and solar in Ohio.
You cannot start a fresh manufacturing base in America without coal right now.
No.
And I'm saying you can't do it in the future, but you can't do it right now. And that would be a mess, you know, if you try it. You're being hurt.
And if you look at what happened last night with the storm, if anybody was as dumb as I was to sit up and watch it all night long going, ooh.
Me too.
I was watching it going, ooh, like I can do something about it. Think about it. And they said the same thing over and over again. And I watched all MSNBC, CNN, and FOX, and the Weather Channel. Anywhere they had a storm, I was flipping through it. And I'm
you could have came here.
No, that was a little bit too close.
Yeah.
That was a little bit too close there.
Now, you live in, Stanley said he lives in Queens, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That was bad.
No. See, that's not the, if you go, the place where the, let me go back to what I was saying. What I found out was, you know, if you have solar power, today would not be a solar day in Ohio. Now, we could have done with some wind last night, but the wind, we don't want the wind lasting that long on the East Coast. That's too much wind for us.
I agree with that. I'm from Atlantic City.
I don't know where you guys are right now. Michigan, I know that you don't, the sun is not up, not up where you are. I know out there, Stanley and the new lady that called it, I know you have no sun. So how are we going to turn the lights back on when the sun won't
shine? Sun is out.
Yeah, that's true. Never thought about that.
I mean, seriously, how are we going to have sun when the sun went down? And if you depend on the elements for your source and not on your resources, then you're really betting on something that you can't bet on, because you really can't have no control over the wind. We'll go through a whole winter and not see a sun.
I can give you a quick job creation would create probably a couple million jobs real quick.
Okay.
All those electric lines that you have sitting above the ground, they need to be put below the ground.
I agree with you.
That would create some jobs real quick.
But they don't want to do
all
that.
All the storms that we have come in, I mean, it is crazy. I mean, this is 2012. When is America going to wake up and put the lines below the ground?
Because that's not. Remember, a lot of people lie to us. If they would quit being disingenuous to us and start telling the truth, we would be better. They're not concerned about jobs. They're concerned about their constituents who are their lobbyists. Because if you look at the laws that they make, some of the laws just have no common sense to them at whatsoever. So why do they make them?
Right.
Well, you know, my opinion is very simple. You fire all of Congress and start all over again.
But you can't get people organized, and they make sure that you stay splintered so that you're not organized so that you do not come against them.
That's true.
They make sure that you stay splintered by little things that don't make a difference. In the state of Ohio, I just did an interview on Issue 2. And Issue 2 is about the apportionment board that draws the lines for your state and your state senatorial and your congressional district. And it happens every 10 years. And there's an issue on there that they want to put in the Constitution. They want to put in this board, and the board has no restrict. They can do anything that they want to do, go anywhere they want to go, and it's just crazy.
Pay themselves whatever they want.
It's just crazy. And I said, well, why don't they use what's already there? Right now we have the state censure committee people on both the Republican and the Democrat side. Have those people sit at a board. Have them pull a board out of there, which means it is bipartisan, it is fair, and then have the governance be of the governor, whoever wins the governor during that time of redrawing the lines. That's just common sense. It doesn't take a whole lot, and it makes people at the lower level accountable for what's going on. They won't do that. That's too much like right.
518, you're on the air.
Hey, listen, guys, I don't know, Tracy, as much as you guys attempt to inform people, you can't inform people on something that they're not educated about. And I saw yesterday for myself with my own eyes, as they campaigned in Covelli yesterday, they said some things that sounded good to the ears, but those were for the dummies. But when they started talking numbers and percentages And I guarantee you, most of the dummies that went over their head. And the reason why you can tell if you watch it on TV, for those of you that didn't go and you were able to watch it on TV, you would have saw the look on the people's faces behind them that I don't know what he's talking about, but okay, let's cheer.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I gotta tell you something, Rick. This is really important. This is really, really important. You know
what?
None of them people that even didn't look puzzled. None of them people knew what that boy was talking about when he talked about them numbers. They didn't have a clue.
No.
He could have got in there and he could have sang and they'd have never known.
Never known.
Exactly.
They have a clue.
Never, ever, no.
Y'all better quit talking about y'all aunties.
The biggest problem in America is the lack of education.
You
get into politics, how are people going to know what's going on unless they got a little bit of schooling?
Go ahead, Rick.
You can have all the schooling you want. If you don't, you can't. Most people can't read the numbers on their checkbook. Why do you think they can read the numbers? If you go out, I want everybody to go out today, and I'll be back tomorrow, but I want y'all to go out today and ask 10 people, how many zeros are in a trillion?
Oh.
And come back tomorrow and tell me what you get. Yes?
Let's not do that, Tracy. Listen, my statement is simple. You can only information is only good for the educated. So the reality of what they did yesterday, he threw out some information, whether it was the right information or wrong information. He threw out information, but the uneducated don't understand what you're talking about when you're throwing out information. So it doesn't have to just be numbers. It could be logistics. It could be geography. It could be anything.
But did it work? Wait, you keep on talking like you got like sis. Listen to what I'm saying. Did it work? The question
is, it worked.
Guess what? Did it work? As long as you listen, if 2 + 2 = 5, and it works for you, it works.
It works. I'm not so much concerned about the dummies and their understanding of education and information. I'm concerned about why we keep following after people that aren't doing anything for us. See, I have a different goal in mind, right? And you guys keep doing
everybody's
it.
Up.
I want
the dummy.
Well, I think hello.
Dummy.
All of them.
2.7.
Yeah, I think the black community follows after a certain type of leadership because they really don't have a collective.
This ain't about black community because you got it's locked across the nation, 50-46 Romney. So what we're talking about is there's a whole bunch of people that aren't thinking and they're just
hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. We're not talking about black people because black people already made up their mind.
Yeah, that's done.
They voted before they showed up. I don't know why you're talking to black people. They already in the bag. They don't even have to know their colors, the ABCs, or the 1, 2, 3.
But the reason why people are hesitant.
Black folks already in the bag.
The reason why people are hesitant about Romney because they're not sure what he will do with the economy.
We know.
He really does not come from a lower income level, and they really think he can't identify with their personal struggles of working class.
Okay, Rick.
It's worse than that.
What'd you say, Rick?
I might probably offend somebody with this statement, but look at how we're talking. We're not sure what Romney's going to do with the economy. We don't know what Obama's going to do with the economy. We saw what he did with the economy for the last 4 years, and you're still convinced that it's going to work. So what are we talking about here? You don't know.
You said it's wrong. It is working. It is recovering.
Hey, so you're wrong there.
Who can trust what a candidate says if every time he opens his mouth, he changes his opinion about a subject in every speech, depending on who he's talking to? You would vote for him?
Well, here's the thing. To me, it's better than the one that's leading me down the path to H-E double hockey sticks in a basket. With the crazy left wing stuff that he's doing, at least this one does understand business. And
yes.
At least I don't care what he thinks about abortion and about some of the other things right that second. Because I can't change that totally, but he's saying he's against it for the moment, so I'm gonna go with that. But my problem is the other one is for doubling down on it. And the other one is for doubling down on, I'm going to take it from the rich. But he says there's no trickle down. How foolish is it to say we're going to build from the bottom up and run middle out? That's stupid. You don't have anything on the bottom to build up with.
No, that's not stupid.
That is stupid because what do you have on the bottom?
I got a question. You know what? It's not stupid.
Okay, what is it?
What it does is it makes good sense for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because the question is, what happens when the rich run out of money? Then where are you going to go?
The rich are
running
out of money.
What happens when your money is devalued? Then where are you gonna go?
That's what the rich are trying to stop. See, that's the whole thing. The rich
are not. Yes, they are.
Because guess what? They would like to stay here, Michigan man. They would like to, but guess what? They will pack up their ball and go home
and
to another home.
And they have the money.
They are going.
Yeah.
Yes, they have already left. A lot of them have left.
Even the liberal ones.
Listen, those capitalists ran wild. They're going to leave and put their money where they can make more money anyway. So this foolishness about, well, I'm in there. He'll make me lose some money. I got to take it and run.
They been taking that money out of
no,
this
no,
country.
Listen,
that ain't got nothing to do with Obama.
Well, that's not what they're doing.
That's the silliest thing I've ever
seen.
Please.
What happens? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. What happens when I take my money and I shut down my business? See, I can always, because see, remember, wealthy people live in a moderate life. They don't live in extravagance. So what happens when I shut down the business that I hire? I have 150 employees, and I tell you goodbye because I'm not willing to take a loss of my kids. See, that's the issue, and that's the
problem. Anytime you have an economy where groups can get together and say we're going to do that and the economy goes to the tanks, then that's the problem. So you need to have more entrepreneurs.
You need to do,
America needs to breed entrepreneurs like rats. I mean,
you can't breed them if you don't allow them to be there.
Not true. The government can help breed entrepreneurs, and that's what they need to do. To always keep competition for those entrepreneurs who want
to
take off and run their money overseas.
I am not going to become an entrepreneur that when I become successful, you're going to take my money from me.
That's what they need to do. That's what building from the bottom up
means. Michigan man. Okay, yeah. Let's build entrepreneurs. Okay, let's say we can do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the bottom line. What are they going to entrepreneur?
What do you mean? What are they going to entrepreneur?
What are they going to make?
There's plenty of opportunities in the fields of engineering, information technology, computer science, but the problem is you don't have people with the skill sets and the education.
Philly, he said we're going to build entrepreneurs, not everybody.
Yeah.
But he said we're going to build entrepreneurs. So what you're saying doesn't hold any water. That's not a good argument. What you have to say is what are we going to do to build these entrepreneurs, because you're going to need money for these entrepreneurs to invest. And if the people that have money take their monies out of your banks and all these other things, guess what? You're not going to have doo-doo.
That's why what you have to do is several things. One, the CDIFs. Community Development Financial Institutions. You have to triple down on that. Triple down on the formation of local credit unions. Triple down on faith-based credit unions. Now, you have all of these college graduates. You're talking about where the new ideas are going to come from with manufacturing and things of that nature. What you need to do is marry those groups to the universities and things like that, and you will have a continuous cycle of entrepreneurs being born. What that will do to these ones, see, what you got to remember is this. If you do the research on entrepreneurs and business developers or whatever, once they hit a certain threshold, they're not investing in creating jobs anyway. They're creating wealth. So you need a new wave of entrepreneurs who do create jobs, so when they reach another threshold, those who go after wealth, you have a cycle of always keeping a wave of entrepreneurs from the bottom up being produced.
Okay.
So once again, hold on, you put entrepreneurs in high demand industries too.
Philadelphia, I need for them to ask if the money, okay, say this works, where did the money come from?
Well, the money comes from several places.
No, where did it come from?
I'm getting ready to tell you.
I want you to tell
me. Me too.
Okay. One, through taxation is one. The other thing is rich people don't have all the money. That's why you organize credit unions. Okay, for instance, look at the wave of credit unions. Credit unions' money didn't come from big corporations to start credit unions.
Sure
CIFs. That don't come from big corporate and big-time donors like them guys that's giving all this money in these campaigns. These are people organizing themselves, right, for community development. So to assume that if these fat cats pull all their money out the economy, it's going to go down, that's crazy thinking. What's wrong with that mess?
Who's that guy just speaking, please?
He's out of Michigan.
What's his name?
Michigan man.
I
want him on my show. He talking sense.
You agree with that?
Wait, I like the way he talks.
I'll give you a hookup. Michigan man, this is Jay. Jay, tell him where he can go find you.
Yeah, just you could, all you gotta do is go on Facebook and look up Jay Early, J-A-Y-E-A-R-L-E-Y. There's only two of us on there. One's white, and I'm the one that's black. So easy to find, okay?
All right.
Okay. I'm gonna answer the question for you why what I think Michigan Man is absolutely teetotal ridiculous, because first of all, the system, if you were in a socialistic country, maybe that is a way that somebody will become employed, but it is not the way that the economy works, because supply and demand is the way of capitalism. That's the way it works. Okay, sure. And so therefore, you have, right now we need more engineers, and guess what? They're importing engineers from India and from China.
Right.
Hold on. And the reason why
their educational systems over there are better at producing people in science and engineering.
Oh, boy.
Here's the thing.
You don't send your kids to school prepared to learn.
And you don't send them to China or to India to learn either.
You don't. Our communities in America are lazy, and we don't want to teach our kids how to sit down and to make the best
that's
of themselves.
That's a separate issue.
Building. It's not a separate issue because if I need an engineer, I shouldn't have to go to China to find a black engineer.
Well, there has to be a plan to create more
Michigan,
engineers. That's not what we were just talking about. But
it's
there
small
can be
business.
A plan for that, too.
No. Because if you got a small business, you got somebody. If I have a small business and it's a tool, I got to have an engineer in there.
The problem is this. The problem is what the gentleman from Michigan was speaking about is can be a real deal. But our schools are not educating people to become entrepreneurs. They're educating them to become workers. So that means that our school system has to change to open people's mind and not teach people how to get a job for 40 years and retire and be broke.
But that goes back to that is not the school's issue. That's not their responsibility. That is the parents. That is the community responsibility.
Yeah.
Our
issue
is
the family.
No. And let me finish. It is our responsibility to teach our children. When you go to school, the only responsibility that school has is to teach me reading, writing, and arithmetic and critical thinking. That's all. Everything else ought to come from the family unit. Our problem is our family unit is destroyed. See, I tell my children to become entrepreneurs because I take them to work and I make them work with me. Our problem is we don't have time for our kids.
This is
that's
true.
A different show, Trace.
If you don't have the drive to sacrifice, then you don't have the drive to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah, but it's
because
a cultural pattern
every day.
But it's a cultural pattern in certain ethnic groups where they're more prone to become entrepreneurs because they do that in their culture every day. Namely, Asians are very prone to do that.
In their unit. The problem is we're too lazy.
A lot of the Asian people that come here get an opportunity to go to school because in their country they don't get that opportunity. And they come over here, and they are way more disciplined than we are. And so, therefore, they will use our system and beat you up with it because they're disciplined.
And we're too lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reason why they're more disciplined is because they have what we in America tend to take for granted. They have an appreciation for the small. They have an appreciation for the little. Their discipline comes from the fact that they come from little beginnings. The Bible says, "Despise not the day of thy small beginnings."
I hear you.
They have an they appreciate that, and so then what they do, there is no self entitlement within their structured family value system. There is no self entitlement there. So because there's no self entitlement, their discipline goes a long way in their work ethic. So they can go ahead and apply themselves and the education that they get and then go back and inform their people about what they've gotten and take them further.
But listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a story before Jeff goes to break. What I did was I went and I go and get my nails done. And, you know, when there's nobody in the salon, they're working on everything else in the salon and they're sacrificing everything they have to build the salon. When we go get our hair done, We don't do that. We're not cleaning up and dusting off and taking care of and making sure our utensils and making sure our tools and stuff is together. We are kicking it somewhere. We laughing somewhere, and we throwing a party. You can't win
different
that
mentality.
Way. That's what I'm saying. But that mentality is instilled in them as young people. They're always having a book. Even if they have the TV on, the TV's watching them while they're reading. Our problem is we're not willing to put down the sacrifice to make things happen. And you can't be an entrepreneur unless you're willing to sacrifice. And I mean sacrifice a lot. And then when I become successful, I'm going to have a problem when you take it from me because you want to give it to somebody else who's not working.
Right. The main thing is the Asian, they learn that work ethic inside their families. That's something that's not present among African Americans.
Like I said, they're way more disciplined, and they're not disciplined because they appreciate the small. They're disciplined because they're ruled with an iron hand, and they don't have any way out from under it. 614, you're on the air.
Hi, Diva.
Oh, hello.
Steve, she's on. Okay, go ahead.
I just called to see what y'all was talking about, and I'm just listening.
You pushed your one and your little yellow button came up, so we thought you wanted to talk.
No, I just wanted to let y'all know that I was just listening.
Hey,
I thought I was going to hear something. Hello, everyone. I thought I was going to hear something new and different, but.
Diva fainted at the Obama rally 2 weeks ago.
15 minutes.
What?
Huh?
We're not talking politics. We're talking solutions. That's a great thing.
No, I hear some people. I heard Michigan come up with a great solution, and then Jeff still talking like he's being beat up by a bully on the playground.
He don't know nothing.
Give me all your money, and I'll leave
you
alone.
That's what I
said
about
the rich people.
Hold on.
He don't know nothing.
You know what? Hold on. And you know what's really funny that you said that, Diva? I think I'll give you something. You guys are solution with Michigan man and Jay earlier all liberal.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you know?
I ain't no liberal.
What would you call yourself?
I've voted Republican before.
You might no vote.
No one's gonna vote Republican.
Independent. What have I said that makes you think I'm liberal? Name one thing.
You liberal.
What name one thing that makes you think I'm liberal?
When you
my
said
economic
that,
policy.
When you said that, when you what you said about building the making sure we have enough entrepreneurs and. You know, and the build them from the bottom up. Have a good supply of these people to keep bringing up, which is ridiculous.
That is not ridiculous, and that's not liberal.
Ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous, and it's not liberal.
Okay,
it ain't liberal.
Okay,
it's where America needs to go. We need more entrepreneurs.
There's no doubt about it.
They made their money. They're not entrepreneurs anymore.
That's crazy.
They're just money grabbers now.
What do you do when you become that millionaire billionaire entrepreneur?
Well, also, you know, you have to be willing to work to be an entrepreneur. You have to
have extreme
type of discipline and work ethic that is beyond the ordinary.
When you become that millionaire billionaire entrepreneur?
That's why I said to you, I know plenty of entrepreneurs. I have lots of friends that are entrepreneurs. Some are good, some are not as good, and you know, but they all are out there with their hand in the oar trying to get it done, you know? But the bottom line is this. If there's no money, there's nothing you're going to entrepreneur.
Yeah,
if there's I'm not done. If there's no money, you're not going to raise anybody up to anywhere. This is what makes an entrepreneur work. When you create an idea, a better mousetrap, a different type of food, a different something bling that everybody wants, and people that have money
buy
your product,
right.
Then you have an entrepreneur.
No, that's
I
not
don't
the
care.
Only type of entrepreneur.
One at a time. Michigan man, because I was directing that you. Go ahead. We got to go to a break. I'm sorry. Just hold on. Everybody just hold on the line. I'm going to set the commercials off. You guys can argue inside the chat room.
I'm hanging up.
We'll be.
Anybody there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out here.
It sounds like Jeff never heard of venture capital.
Jeff is cool, man.
You have to have a venture capitalist and a sound business plan to venture into any type of entrepreneurship. But what you were saying about credit
right,
unions,
but some of those ventures are joint ventures, which means you got you don't have to have be a multi-millionaire to get into
right.
a joint venture.
Listen,
you can have a bunch
listen,
of little people
listen.
Get into a joint venture.
And the thing about it, the history of all these people that we're talking about going to pool their money, that is exactly what they did to get started. Go
take
the history of them. Pool their resources. A lot of them, most of them wasn't no great thinkers. Where y'all getting this stuff from? They were no great thinkers with no new
question.
Ideas.
Let me ask you a question.
Well, crazy.
Well, they had to have a sound idea to start off with.
True. And then they had to sell it to somebody.
Yeah.
It could have been a credit union. It could have been a group of venture capitalists.
And they pool
you know
resources, and they go out and look for people with good ideas.
Thank you.
How many of you guys think that what Jeff said, that if we were to get tough on the rich, people ask them to do a little more, they will actually pull up their money and
they
themselves
not.
And go across seas?
They
like,
not.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. That's a... You know, when I was on the city commission in Benton Harbor, the Fortune 500 company that's in Benton Harbor is Whirlpool Corporation, Fortune 500 company. Whenever they didn't get their way when they came to City Hall asking for a tax break, a Fortune 500 company asking the poorest community in Michigan almost for a tax break, well, if y'all don't give us some tax break, we're going to take our factory, we're going to leave. Y'all ain't going nowhere. This water right here, that's what y'all want anyway. You can run that game on somebody else. And all those people talking about they're going to take their money and run, the only way they're going to take their money and run is they see some better return somewhere else. And they're going to do that anyway.
Sure.
Right. My thing is, like, the metaphor I use is, it's like the bully saying, I'm going to beat you up
right.
unless you give me your lunch money. And you give them the lunch money, and then when you finally stand up to them, you realize that they will leave you alone.
Right.
That's a very good point, because you know what I was just thinking? By President Obama's own admission, he has said, if you work hard, and then you get what you're supposed to be getting. Well, how could you work hard the same as... the same thing, and then redistribute. Who in his clan is going to work
hard?
There's
nobody redistributing. Yeah, why do y'all keep saying
that?
About this redistribution
right.
stuff?
Redistribution lie. Where does this keep coming from?
Yes. Tell me.
Well, he wants certain people to work hard. Who does he want to work hard?
He wants everybody
want America
to work
hard.
What are you talking about?
He wants everyone to work
what
hard.
What I'm talking about is how are you supposed to work hard at something when there's no economy. There's no businesses to work hard on. Who is going
to
be able to run on that?
Well,
tell him to tell the Republicans, okay, that have been blocking that jobs bill.
Who's
going to
loan me money?
What
bank is
going to
loan me money to start a business?
And get reconstruction going, infrastructure going, and we have a couple million jobs.
Where are they?
Let me tell you. The main thing, America has to rebuild its infrastructure. And then they have to retrain people in the high-tech manufacturing. That would mean going back and trying to redo the public school
as a business of your own that you actually opened up and you're running a shop in it. And hold on, not yesterday, today. And you're running a shop and you're not in the red, you're in the black. Please tell me which one of you guys are doing that right now.
Well, and this thing about
could you repeat that, please, so we can hear you?
Which one of you guys has a business that you just opened up today, and you're saying, entrepreneur, you and your friends got together, you opened up this business. Which one of you guys has a business that's in the black and not the red?
Let me say this. First of all, I'm 66. I've had four businesses in 30 years. Okay, I hired employees. The only reason the last business is not there, of course, in Mr. Bush's war, happened to take my clients away from me. They're military. So
yes.
Please don't talk to me about being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Been one all my life.
That's 517, ain't it? Man, he think he's smart.
Are they open
really
today?
Yeah. I have three businesses, all of them. All three of them, right now.
And how are they doing?
One of them is doing well. Two of them are not right now.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and Friends with a little bit of the riders from way back when. Called a shift in the wind, and we certainly had a shift in the wind.
I don't know whether there's enough shift in the political winds, but there's a lot going on, and this is Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Hello, we are broadcasting live on WSOM 600 AM and on iHeartRadio at WSOM 600 AM as well, and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. You go check us out and get in the chat room and have some fun with us. We thank you, all the callers that are hanging in line with us. Mm-hmm. This is a old song from my youth. You know, it's about 10 years ago. You know, I'm 10 years old.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. Tracy is 10.
You said he was young 10 years ago?
10 years old, that's all. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We had some friends on the air. They were talking. And who didn't we talk to just now? Michigan Man, you just did talk. So what about
you missed some people in there.
Yeah, I got too many people in there. Who got something to say real quick before I blast it?
Well, Michigan Man was some had, I think it was Michigan Man. But just ask him how many businesses that he had.
Which one of you guys have a business still open today that's operating in the black?
I do.
What that has to do for the price of rice in China?
What's your point?
It says
right.
Everything about your economy. It says everything about the economy everybody's living under, not just your economy. And don't tell me about a business that you opened and closed and
look.
You feel like you hired some people.
Look,
hold on, guys.
Hold on, man.
Hold on, there's a young lady out there who's from New York, and she hasn't said anything.
Yes, I want to ask that man something. Is it okay to open up a business today and hire illegal aliens?
No.
Oh, okay. Because most of your pizza places around here, that's what they hire.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Hold on. Don't everybody comment at the same time. Do they really hire illegals there?
Yes.
Yeah. They hire Mexicans in the Northeast at most of the restaurants.
And the diners too. And the diners, and they sleep them, and some of them sleep in the basement, like four or five of them.
Now, are they on a work program or are they just totally illegal?
That I don't know. I think
because
they're illegal.
There is a work program that is out there.
I don't think this is a work program. I can ask one of my friends that own a pizza restaurant.
You need to ask them because there is a work program where they are not legal, but they come here to work seasonal work, and then they go back home. And people actually house them. They actually do a lot for them. And we're going to do a show after the election on this. Because I don't think we realize that there are jobs out there that Americans don't want to do, will not do.
Right.
Right.
And we need to realize that if somebody wants to come here and do them, we ought to let them do them. But they need to be legally doing them, even if they're not American citizens.
Amen. Yeah, no doubt about it.
I got a question on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why, if everybody's crying for jobs, how come we're going to get picky as to what jobs we will do or won't do?
Exactly.
Y'all got jokes. Y'all know. Listen. I don't know. Listen, black folks ain't going out into the cotton fields ever again in life to go pick up cotton.
Oh, yeah, they is.
They ain't.
Let them keep not organizing. That's exactly what they hear.
Oh, well, I agree with you there.
But that's because they're going to be incarcerated. They don't have no freedom or they'll be out there. But as far as them to willingly go out there, you can't find an African-American, too many of them, being a housekeeper inside of a hotel getting paid $15 an hour.
I've heard people with no job talking about, man, I ain't going down there and sweep no floor.
I said, but I do.
But do you know what janitors get
that's
paid?
That's not true. I know plenty of black women who are housekeepers, and they ain't getting paid no $15 an hour.
Did I say anything about a black woman, Diva? No.
But there's still African-Americans that work in hotels.
Wait a minute. Why do y'all do that?
I don't know. Philly, you just...
You had the filibuster, baby.
That's a Philly buster. Philly, I had to hold you up, brother. You had to slow your roll because we step on each other and nobody's hearing nothing.
And I get yelled at.
Yeah.
The name of this show is Sandy a Sign. Well, yeah, everything's underwater. I mean, it's Sandy a Sign. It sure is.
It's underwater.
Our houses are underwater. Our jobs are underwater. I mean, there is a correlation to that.
So the question is, do you think there's a sign?
Yeah.
I do, too.
I do, too.
You know, they were saying today on one of the CNN stations, they were saying, you know, the houses are underwater. I said, what, figuratively or literally? I mean, both of them, they're underwater. I mean, here in Jersey and New York, I mean, you got things going on. That, well, listen, we haven't seen the stuff like this. Nobody's ever seen. Nobody knows how to even report on what's happening here in the East Coast. It's
weird,
ludicrous.
So you're going to get worse.
This is where the weird talk starts.
So
talking about jobs and creating businesses.
Right. We're going to go into the weird talk.
This is not weird. This is not weird. Mm-hmm. If you have to understand, your jobs and everything is tied to the signs of the time.
Sure is.
The ghost and the goblins.
It's not the ghost and the goblins. Hey. You have to understand that everything that we're talking about is tied to where we are.
And look at the stock market. It's closed. If you haven't noticed, it's closed. That's where your money is coming from. That's where your value system is at.
And it's gonna open up not till tomorrow. And
if
so
if they can get there, because right now there are subways that it's gonna take 14 days for them to empty the water out of.
Yeah. How would you like the bomb to drop here in New York? And you're not able. Nobody's able to move because all the bridges are closed. All the trains are not running, and you're stuck here like a duck going back and forth. I mean, can you imagine if they wanted to attack us yesterday?
Yeah.
We would be sitting down.
Am I correct? You're actually
well, that's the disaster
there,
plan for New York. If they ever had a bomb, they would blow the bridges and they would search for the bomb inside of New York City, and they wouldn't allow anyone to leave the island.
Yeah, well, okay.
That's the plan for New York.
Mother Nature tell you what you gonna do.
Here, let me add something to you for real quick here. And now I'm gonna give Michigan Man some weird talk because he gonna lose his mind on this one. Just remember one thing, that when the Antichrist speaks or when he causes problems, he doesn't. Not what comes out of the dragon's mouth is not fire. It's water. It's always water. And so, therefore, when you look at things and you look at water and how it is affecting, you gotta think that there might be something to that. And just like she said, our houses are underwater, our jobs are underwater, our money is underwater, we're in debt up to our eyeballs. We have taken on a curse that we did not want to be cursed. And that is, we have become the borrower and not the lender. And that's...
Can I
say something, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Can I add this?
Okay.
Hold on, Rick. You're going to be next.
Hold up.
Let me say to everybody who just heard that, please do not use that as a theory and gamble our future away talking about some ghosts and goblins controlling the storm.
No, not ghosts and goblins.
That's what I want to say.
Hold on, Rick. No
please
ghosts
don't.
And goblins, my friend.
We can do better.
Yeah.
There's people out here that's putting processes in place. Work with them with this theories of ghosts and goblins controlling storms because we're doing something wrong is a bunch
ghosts
of crap.
Ghosts and goblins. Well,
can I ask you a question? No, wait a minute. I really want to know before we go. I got 7 minutes. Rick, you're next. I want to know, do you really believe the words that just came out of your mouth, Michigan?
Absolutely.
So you believe 1,000%.
That there's... 1,000%.
So you believe that God has no control over what happens inside of our weather system and inside of what we're doing. Is that what you're saying?
Tracy, what? Because
I think you're better than that.
Tracy, what and who I think God is and what and who you think God is probably 20,000 million miles apart.
That's probably so.
We'd have to start there.
Okay.
Can I say what I want to say now?
Yes, Rick, go ahead.
Slowly.
Now, for Michigan Man and anybody else, and this is not against Michigan Man, but this is definitely for those people that think like that, the reality of it is whether you say you believe in God or not, I guarantee there will come a day that all this water that we're saying is drowning us in our debt and in our crisis situations of life, there's going to come a day when they're going to tell you we don't have enough water for you to drink.
That's right.
We don't have enough
water
for you to... We don't have enough water for you to wash up with. Now, well, who you going to call on? You going to call on the Antichrist.
Well, can I say something?
No, no, no,
can I say something?
Okay.
May I speak?
Not yet.
This is Jay.
Are you done, Rick? Jay?
Yeah, this is Jay. First of all, if we take a look back, if we've been talking about doing this political race we had here, greed got us in the financial situation we're in, not just in America, but around the world. Greed got us there. Okay? So y'all can't blame that. Don't be blaming that one on God. That's greed.
No. We're not blaming it. This is not a blame on God.
You're right.
God,
you can't blame
on
the devil either.
No,
unless the devil is greedy. If the devil is greedy, then he did it.
You have to say that there is a good and there is an evil force.
Yes, I agree with that.
We want to look.
I agree with that, but greed got us into this situation.
But greed is evil. Yeah. For the love of money is the root of all.
There you go. Love of money. There you go.
For the love of money, and you will find that more people love money than they love life. And so when you say that, you're right, but you have to understand the judgments of God which are coming, and we keep on saying that we're going to build them bigger and better and not repent for what we've done is a problem.
I got one thing to add to that as a caveat. Jesus talked about money than he talked about any other subject in the New Testament. More about money than everything, which means there's a lot attached to money. Yes, there's greed, but guess what? Now, here's something you're not going to agree with, of course, but God protects you from certain things, and when you rule righteously and rule according to the basic laws that he set for us to live by here, I'm not talking about anything else but basic laws of nature, really, if you don't want to say they're from God, but they're basic laws. You give, you take care of other people's things as well, God will bless you. You make sure that you do good instead of evil. But when you let evil be, can I finish? When you let evil be the law of the land, he curses your land, and things like storms, famines, pestilences, diseases come upon your land.
I disagree, Jeff. I
know you disagree, Stanley.
I disagree.
Listen, whether you disagree or whether you agree, truth is still truth and life is still life, and it is
sure
what it is. You do not have to agree, but it is what it is. And what you're seeing is it is not because of God. It is because of us that we are seeing the judgments of God. Because what we're doing is we're calling this ourselves because we think that we're greater than God, and we will not deal with the elephant in the room, which is actually us.
Because at the end of the day, Tracy, you're already putting in it's like a judgment of God when you could go when nature is nature. I could come to you, nature is nature. It happens in
sure
every
is, but
wrong
you know what?
That
God control. I'm gonna tell you something. You remember when Haiti had the big earthquake?
Yeah, that was God too, right?
Okay, you know when they had that earthquake?
What they do wrong?
Okay, witchcraft is plain and simple.
Oh,
but I'm going to say it like this. Okay, listen to me. Listen to me quickly. 90 seconds. They do that. But what happened? Did they have any problem over next door in the Dominican Republic?
Oh, my God.
Did they?
Voodoo.
Voodoo.
You called it witchcraft.
See y'all later.
Voodoo is what it's called.
You got to go. They had no problems over there.
Come on,
afternoon with Tracy and friends. We are having fun. We are getting out of here. Tracy will be back here tomorrow, the same time, the same bat station. Michigan man, you know you got a reservation to call in. Whenever you want to, Stanley loved you. New York lady, we enjoyed you. One word, that's her name. And the rest of you guys, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
God bless.
See ya.
Thank you.
This is Henry Nemmons, inviting you to shop Nemmons Ice.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.